surprise, bitch!
Radio FUBAR. Radio f***ed up beyond all recognition.
Actually, you know what? I think we're going to wait until Matt comes
Ladies
back and then we'll do this again.
To the new
just because I want him to hear the tweak on the intro. He, you know, he always forgets
the
about
intro,
that every year.
Not
so
the chords.
Let's.
We've talked about this.
Wait for it.
We talked about this, Santo. Don't run through the chords, bro.
So, what the hell are you doing, Matt?
I'm guessing we're live, aren't we?
Yeah, we're live.
Hi, everyone.
Matt is... Wasn't he just saying something about being a fast mover?
Yeah, how fast can you sprint, Matt? Although that blue ice cube tray is a pain to get the ice cubes out of. I'm going to be serious.
I mean, the ice
Because if you try
literally...
to get more than like three ice cubes out at a time, the whole thing ends up on the counter.
Yeah, I mean, the fucking problem. the ice is literally 10 feet away from the studio and...
Do you see these fucking things? They're like miniature.
I don't think
ice.
He's ever tried to get ice out of that ice cube tray, so he has he's no reference. He thinks it's easy, probably.
I don't like little ice.
The
other one wasn't like half frozen.
That's what I told him. I took those like 2 hours ago, hoping it would be.
All right, now let's play our intro again.
Yeah.
Put your headphones on.
All right.
Because you got to remember it's because it's our.
Turn my headphones up. Seriously, can't hear a thing.
Hello? Hello, is anyone down there?
Come here, please.
Hello?
Come here, please. Come here.
What the fuck?
Surprise, bitch!
Radio FUBAR. Radio f***ed up beyond all recognition.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the new greatest thing on the internet, Studio FUBAR.
Does internet porn know you're cheating on it?
With your hosts, the loud one, Matt Reefer.
His mind brain is permanently rejecting his real identity!
Peter Johnson.
I love that I have an erection that didn't involve homeless people.
But for obvious reasons, we call him Pete. Mr. Producer.
I'm spooning a Barrett 50 cal. I could kill a building.
And the only person who can put up with all of this, Mr. Producer's wife, Pink.
Oh, it's like my heart's being gripped by the icy fingers of some terrifying ghost of honeymoon future.
I need to take her out of the intro because
she's never here.
Well, she doesn't want to.
Her chair is now occupied by a cat scratching post, and I'm not even making that up, folks. A broken cat scratching post.
Wow, yeah. They're busted.
It's the
old one.
Loose.
Yeah, the old one. That's the one that's.
Sandy. Oh, that's the one.
There's
that
El Grande Cat Hyatt Deluxe up there now.
Nice.
It's got a three tier system.
That's the one that Sammy would sit right in front of and scratch the carpet.
Yeah.
The first time I saw this, I was like, "What the fuck is this cat doing?" He's literally he wandered over there, stared at it for a minute, and then, "Oh, this carpet's gonna be much better."
He's nearsighted.
Oh,
that's
seriously.
I'm just making it up.
That's the least of his problems.
He needs cat glasses.
Yeah,
meow focals.
First off, the analog bar.
Screw you,
fucking rocks.
Bad.
I went to the arcade bar last Friday.
Yeah, how was that?
Oh my god, I was so drunk. He calls me for a ride.
What else is? I know he called you for a ride.
You finally got to talk to David, though. That was the best crack of that.
Yeah,
no, the bad thing about it is that...
My description, completely accurate, wasn't it?
He's an asshole.
He's a bit of a bitch.
He's
the right kind of bitchy, though.
Yeah, he's the right kind of bitchy. did he leave? Did you come and get him?
Well, did you come and get him?
That's about. I was like, I don't know how to respond.
Well, I guess he didn't leave then, did he?
David.
So how was your 2 weeks?
Is it
no?
Is it just video games and booze?
No, I know they got stuff like skee ball.
They got skee ball.
Like
they got some pinball machines. They got they've got the first two Mortal Kombat games.
Because I don't want to lie and say that I missed the grand opening. I didn't miss it at all. I hate bar grand openings, especially when it's a game.
There was a line.
Yeah, I bet.
There's a fucking line.
Like when I heard about it, I'm like, I'm glad I'm not going to be down there.
And then if you go 2 days later, it's probably like two greasy.
There's actually surprisingly when you say video game bar. There were hot chicks everywhere.
Well, yeah. Nerd is the new chic, man. But I was like, man, I can't wait to go in 2 weeks when there's no line anymore. People go back to their standard clubs.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's the new one. Plus, you know, it's built for people my age, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You know, people that grew up in the 80s arcade,
exactly.
You know, that kind of stuff.
There's that. And then there's, like, me and Pete's age who caught the arcades right at the tail end.
Pocket change park, motherfuckers.
Exactly.
Pocket change motherfucking park.
Yeah. Right at the tail end of that.
Well, that was one of the main reasons why we used to go to the mall, is because they had the huge, like 3,000 square foot arcade right in this, you know.
Right there out in front of the motherfucker. I love that thing.
Wait, that was around for you too?
Yeah.
At North Park?
South Park.
Oh, yeah, South Park, they'd gotten
rid of
it.
Right?
Aladdin's Castle.
Yeah.
Because they still had Pocket Change Park when I was, like, turning 10, and that was, like, a heaven.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah. We'd go.
Laser tag in the bouncy castle. It was amazing.
In a bouncy castle, they had a fucking Ferris wheel.
We didn't have laser tag or anything like that. I mean, we had laser tag was around.
We were getting it right at the crescendo.
You guys don't
remember. And then one day it was closed.
Yeah.
You don't
just fucking, it was just done. And there was a fucking Barnes and Noble. Don't get me wrong. I don't mind.
Because Pocket Change Park had the bumper cars. It had the laser tag. It had the little carousel.
You don't remember laser tag, the cartoon.
No. There was a fucking cartoon?
They made a cartoon out of laser tag. I'll see if I can find it. It was a Saturday morning cartoon that they you know, laser tag. Because
it looked like you guys left that bar, though.
They did.
Okay.
I wanted to stay there all
fucking day. I bet you did.
But Cody and Mark were like, we're going to
fuck off. Oh, the Halo players wanted to leave.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah. I was like, there's like...
I haven't played all the games yet.
Yeah, that was my...
I haven't played all the games. Yeah. There's a line for skee-ball that is bullshit.
Yeah, there's a line for skee-ball. I didn't accomplish my mission, which was to get really fucked up, and they have this jet flying game. I want to get real drunk.
No, I was wrong. It wasn't a Saturday morning cartoon. It was a movie.
Oh.
And you can get the whole movie...
for free.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
Nice.
Laser Tag Academy. Oh, there was a TV series, too. Let's see. Here we go.
Yeah, they went the whole deal with that.
Yeah. Let's see.
This seems like something bad from the 80s. It was
1986.
Like paintballing.
Yeah.
Which I was into.
A 6.4 on IMDb. So, like, you know.
It's a moderately okay movie.
Right.
It's enjoyable.
No, this is the cartoon, the Saturday morning cartoon. Laser Tag Academy is the story of Jamie Jaron, a 13-year-old laser tag champion from 3010, who journeys back in time to stop the evil Draxon Dreer.
Wow, this is actually right in my wheelhouse of really shitty 80 movies.
She joins with her ancestors, Tom, Beth, and Nikki Jaron, who also share three ancestors' special powers.
Like aunt, one of them?
Probably like
cousins.
Aunt? Cousins, yeah.
Maybe.
Like the Jarons.
Gonna put an awkward twist on the love story.
For most people,
love story there.
For most people, Starlights, the laser tag guns, are harmless toys, but for others, like the Jarons, they become weapons that allow them.
Of course they do.
Along with the star sensor, allow them to travel
when
in time, move objects, etc.
They remaking that?
Laser Tag Academy.
That movie's actually really good.
Is a cartoon based on the laser tag toy and was produced by Ruby Spears Animation. It aired only 1 year.
Yeah.
And was canceled only due to the bankruptcy of Worlds of Wonder, the maker of Laser Tag.
They came out with like six different versions of Laser Tag in like a year or two. They just killed that.
Yeah.
They had Nerf Laser Tag, which doesn't make any freaking sense.
Yeah.
They had the like standard knockoff laser tags and...
In the mid-90s, the rights to Laser Tag Academy were purchased by Saban Entertainment. And it re-aired under the title Laser Patrol on Sci-Fi. In July 2001, Saban's library and more than 6,500 episodes of children's programming were purchased by Disney. So does Disney now own Laser Tag Academy? They might.
Apparently.
Probably.
Yeah. But they did a movie, too.
So how was work, Matt?
Work was me. Got this is a funny story. Uh-oh. After work, after work last night, we go to Golden Corral, right? And I'm kind of hopped
I'm
up.
I'm guessing you got paid yesterday, though.
No.
You mean you actually saved some money?
Yeah.
How that happen?
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, you went to the video arcade. The games are only a quarter.
Yeah. I spent 20 bucks in tokens. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
A great tokens.
Yeah.
Great. Now I can only spend these here.
I was going to say, are they one of those where it's old school, like you still have to use a coin?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Because some of those
you
places.
You still coin drop them.
Yeah, because some of those places, you know, you pay to get in.
Mm-hmm.
You pay an admission fee and you get to play for so long.
Somebody said, it's like Dave and Buster's. I'm like, no, they don't do that bull crap where you have to buy the Dave and Buster's play card bonus points and all that. It's you put money in a machine, you get quarters or tokens or whatever, and you play the games.
Well, at least that way. At least that way. I mean, if you give somebody, you know, you say you get to play for 2 hours on their card or something like that, then you get people that are like dominating a machine that can just keep hitting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Replay.
Well, the thing about that is because it's a bunch of people. It's a bunch of people with money. They still dominate machines, but they're pumping quarters into the motherfuckers.
They need to do arcade rules. You come up and you put a quarter on that machine.
Exactly.
You get next game.
Yeah. Exactly.
I got three credits in the machine. I'm still here after those three credits. You don't put any more money in. That's why
you
that quarter's there, mofo.
If I wanted to dominate machine, I would take $5 and quarters and just line them up on the screen.
Yeah.
You better put your quarter at the end, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You always had to leave that little space, though, so you knew whose stack of quarters ended.
Oh, yeah. They got...
So what happened at Golden Corral, though?
So I'm a little hopped up after work most of the time because I get pissed
off. You get high at work. That's a good thing.
No, not... I get pissed off at dumb asses and whatnot. And I'm on a little bit of a rant talking to my sister, right?
Oh, boy.
and I got into a section of discussion because we were talking about...
If you're going to talk about Star Wars, I'm leaving now.
It wasn't Star Wars.
Okay.
It was about anarchy.
The concept of it?
Yeah, just the concept of it.
Is she an anarchist?
No. Okay. No. I was just... In the middle, you know me, when I get in the middle of like different subjects of one.
You get a little ranty.
I
know that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt's one of those people you can see him walking down the street and somebody will say something he doesn't like and.
Yeah,
you know,
immediately.
Podium comes out. The soapbox is right behind it.
Exactly, yep. Right in your fucking face.
It just comes out of nowhere, everybody. It's on wheels, you know.
Yeah, but anyway.
He's got a guy that he hires that stands 20 feet by him.
This lady turns around and looks at me and is like, could you please stop talking? We didn't come out to dinner at this have a conversation.
Now,
like
wait a minute. You've had to have heard that at least once a week your entire life.
No, this is literally, this is actually the first time that... Because most of my shit's done
have
on
you
the
not
internet.
Listened
somebody
to the
else
last...
turned to you guys hey, and said, could you shut up?
Have you not listened to the
Fuck
last
you.
100...
This is Golden Corral. There are no rules past the cash register.
Have you not listened to the last 150 episodes that we've done on this?
Yeah, that was my thought process.
Once we get past that cashier with our little trays and our little cups and our little forks,
it's
get to the food first. That's the only rule.
Now, I did the respectable.
My God, are you still talking?
I did the respectable thing. I was like, this is kind of awkward. I'm going out and smoke. I didn't actually just lean into the lady for a minute. I wanted to. I really, really wanted to.
Was she alone or did she have a family?
It was her two kids and her
were
husband.
Were you cursing?
Probably.
Of course you were.
Okay. I probably was. And I had just talked of the conversation that my mom had just asked me a question of like the concept of anarchy. And I was talking about Timothy McVeigh and the Oklahoma City bombings and whatnot. And that's when the lady
turned. This is just a test. Hold on.
My God, are you still talking?
And that's when the lady turned around and me and was talking. Now, I had been going on for a good 15 minutes about a bunch of other topics, but. But yeah.
You're starting to peat your family, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't I want to stop talking. Just continues running at the mouth like verbal diarrhea.
The best part about it was my mom and my sister, both of them, it wasn't that they were just pissed off, but both of them were like, you weren't even being like extremely aggressive about the conversation.
Were you like, did you say anything nice about Timothy McVeigh? Like,
no,
I gotta know what set this lady off.
No, I was. Have you seen the post I was talking about in WQAD?
No.
Okay, so there's a post from WQAD about
that's our local ABC affiliate.
Yeah, their local ABC affiliate. And they on Facebook, and they were talking about a gym. This is what started this. They're talking about a high school football coach that got fired for praying on the field.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been like,
well, no, he was praying. Let's see, the way the story said it, he was praying on his own. Some of the kids joined him.
Yeah.
And they fired him for organized religion and
right,
blah, blah, blah.
So that's what that is. And the high school said, you can't do that, but he continued doing it anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So he didn't follow their fucking rules and got fired for it. And everybody's like, well, it's oppression. I was like, well, first.
It would be different if they fired him like the first time he did it.
Yeah.
You know.
He's been
told, if he had been warned.
Yeah. He's been told a couple times and continued doing it. Because,
right.
And so I started in. On,
you know, I don't like religion and I don't like faith, but why can't the guy go over and have a prayer? And if the other kids come over and join in, he didn't force them to.
Let's let him tell his story first, and then we'll bitch about this story.
Yeah. So I started off on that and, like, discussion of that and the thought processes and the arguments I was having with these people on Facebook and the concept of freedom of speech and whatnot. And then I kind of slowly worked into in the concept of anarchism. And my mom actually legitimately asked me a question about it. And I was in like mid sentence of explaining.
You must tell us the details
What
was the question?
She asked me what it was, and I was like,
okay. Anarchy.
Yeah.
How did you get from a guy praying on a football field to anarchy?
Well, him not following the rules.
Him not following the rules. And
everybody saying that it should be okay for him not to follow the rules.
Yeah,
you get into anarchy.
Right? And talking about potentially bombings, different areas. This is the major point that I talked about. I was like, I am glancing over. So what kind of led into from that discussion initially about religion was talking about potentially, how to fix the federal government, which then led into that. So if you kind of basically what I said was we need to probably take out the state legislators. So I was
take out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
As in mafia take out?
No.
As in,
I think what Matt's getting to is why the hell do we even have states anymore if the federal government's going to tell them what they have to do all the time?
Right, exactly. Yeah, that was the thought process, and my mom asked me, so, like, where does that all stem from? And I was like, well, it stems from a semblance of anarchism. And she's like, what's that? And I was like, well, have you ever heard about the Oklahoma City bombings and Timothy McVeigh?
Great introduction to anarchism, by the way.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber?
Yeah. He was a political bomber.
That's actually far enough in history that a lot of people listening right now may not know who Timothy McVeigh was. He blew up a federal building in Oklahoma City.
In Oklahoma City,
Killed 168 people.
So they got to pull out their smartphones and their computers.
Yeah.
And they got to Google Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah. And that's when the lady looked at me and said, could you please shut up? And
can you stop having kids and overpopulating this planet?
I wanted to say something like that.
You know, I can imagine her doing exactly like Ron Santo, just turning around to you, looking at you. Can you shut up, please?
That's about how it was.
You got one boy, one girl there. China would kill one of them. So let's continue our discussion on anarchy.
If I wasn't in fucking public,
I don't know who that guy over there talking about anarchy was, but they should shoot him.
Yeah.
They should shoot that guy.
Yeah.
Could you sit down, please?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's about how that was. And I immediately shut up because I was like, well, I might have gone too far. I don't want to push this anymore.
Yep. I know how this went.
Went up, got out, and smoked a cigarette.
Thought about it. I'm like, I didn't do anything fucking wrong.
Yeah.
That's when you get that steam coming out of the ears going. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was really fucking.
You just hear the train whistle from Matt.
Cue the Jeremy Irons new Batman movie quote. It starts with the rage.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The fuck just happened to me?
Yeah, I just got yelled at for doing almost absolutely nothing wrong.
I was talking about anarchy, and someone else told me to shut up, and I did. The paradox is not lost on me. What just happened?
If, let me put it to you this way. And my sister brought this up. She's like, if you were out with like Johnson and all of your friends, you wouldn't have shut up. And I was like, no, because I would have instantly had fucking backup on that situation. I could.
You know how I deal with anarchy, Pete? When Matt keeps talking,
you put rules on it.
You moot him.
Moot him.
Exactly. You've been mooted. Yeah. That's and it's like I was just super pissed off about that. I was just really, really angry. And I sat there, smoked outside for a few minutes, and then
we'll call that cowing him because you mooted him.
Yep. Oh yeah. So yeah, I've had those days. Anyway.
Yeah.
So before we ask Pete how his week is, let's disassemble the story of the mm-hmm. coach here.
Yeah.
Like I said, basically what it was this football coach was having a little prayer before the game. He would just get down on one knee and I guess do a prayer, and some students sometimes joined him.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of those where he's, you know, because they did this in the locker room when I was in high school. You mm-hmm. know, it was, all right, everybody take a knee.
Yeah.
You know, and we prayed before the game and during halftime. I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pray.
What city was this from, by the way?
Me?
No. The coach.
Down in Texas, I think.
In Texas?
Yeah.
They fired someone for praying in Texas?
Well, I think it was in...
It was a public school.
It was probably Austin.
Yeah, it was a public school.
They're kind of... Austin's kind of like a liberal...
Texas, that big place where people have giant belt buckles and chicken fried steaks.
Again, Austin.
Football is a religion?
It's probably Austin. Like I said, Austin is kind of like a... Like they just stuck a little bit of... They picked up... Like a couple of neighborhoods in San Francisco and dropped them right in the middle
of fucking Texas.
That explains like the two Democrats from Texas. That explains a lot.
Yeah, they're all from Austin. Yeah, not surprisingly, that's where the University of Texas is in Austin. So,
yeah, also not surprisingly, that's where the capital of Texas is.
Yeah.
Let's take the biggest, most conservative state we have and drop the liberals.
Right in the middle of it. Fuck them.
The disassembling it is fine, but stopping a guy from praying, we were...
Well, the thing was, is he was praying during or before the football game, and students were joining him. I think if it was one of those where, like, he went into his office and prayed in there before the game, nobody would have said nothing.
Which was part of my point that I was making.
They were
about
doing
that.
It out on the field.
On the field,
you know,
yeah.
Before the game. You know, they were getting up on the sideline. He was taking a knee before the coin flip or whatever. And some of the students would come over and join them. Mm-hmm. Some of them didn't. It wasn't one of those where...
Everybody has to get in this circle. You're not part of the team.
They didn't force anyone to do it.
Rock Island did that, too. A couple of the other coaches didn't. And they were over organizing and filling up the Gatorade and everything. And a few of the players weren't. I was one of the players that wasn't in that circle.
Yet, you know, and a lot of people are agreeing with that. Yeah, the football coach shouldn't be praying. Then you've got the guy in the NFL who's Muslim
mm-hmm.
got penalized, and I don't think they actually fined him. I think the NFL came out and said the ref was wrong. But he took a knee after he scored a touchdown. He did a pick six.
Mm-hmm.
You know, went down on one knee, did the praise Allah thing,
mm-hmm.
and he got a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
What? Fuck that. That's stupid. That's dumb.
Well, because the rule says you're not supposed to use the ground in any kind of...
If they apply that to if a guy gives up and gives the Holy Cross symbol.
You nail Tebow every single time he does it.
And that's exactly what people brought up with stuff like Tebow or guys taking a knee.
Which I was against from the get-go. I'm like, he should not be saying a mini prayer after every completed pass. That's freaking stupid.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, and the NFL finally came out and said, yeah, the ref fucked up on that one. We're not going to penalize him. We're not going to do anything like
that.
The
Lord guided him to that completed pass, but it didn't guide him to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. But anyway, so he got fired because I guess he did it. And then the school board said,
you're done.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. And he did it anyway.
The great paradox of praying and then losing.
Yeah. What's that cartoon that was on Facebook the other day? You know, the husband's in a hospital bed dying of cancer, and the wife says, well, it must be, you know, it's just God's plan. And then you go up to God, and he's got God's plan. One, create universe. Two, give Steve cancer.
Yeah, yeah, I see that. It's like, yeah.
Three, question mark.
Right.
I've seen that. I laugh my ass off every single fucking time.
Pretty clear on this show that I'm anti-religion, and I am intrinsically against faith when it interacts with science, but you can't quite police faith.
I'm not anti-faith.
I am. I think it's stupid, but I can't stop anybody from having faith. So
there's a difference between faith and religion.
I understand that. That's why, yeah, I
separated. That's why I said I'm not anti-faith. I'm anti-organized religion. If you want to believe in God, that's fine.
Now,
but how you believe in God, you know, there really shouldn't be anybody out there telling you how to believe in God.
The post that my whole point on this and when I started on this article was I led off with Doug Stanhope, where
great choice. Go ahead.
And where he was saying, it's like, pray on your own time. Pray and keep your fingers crossed. That's about the same thing. The whole point of that was like, no, I don't give a shit if you pray. Just, you had a home to do that shit.
They taught me as a Jehovah's Witness, you can literally say a prayer completely mentally without even closing your eyes.
Yeah.
You can speak to God in your head. It's thought police.
But then
anybody.
Everybody else in the football stadium doesn't know that you're a holy roller religious.
Yeah, exactly. That was.
And that really upsets everybody. Oh my God, they're religious? They have faith? Like, well, yeah, you can't stop them from having it. You can be against it, but you can't stop it. Oh, you're going to fire that guy for having. Great, you made a martyr. Did you not read about religion before you started hating it? You don't do this.
Yeah.
You give them a little bit of wiggle room and nothing else.
I've been playing the CNN drinking game. Have you played that?
The bit that I played is Doug Stanhope, fuck your God. That's the bit that I actually played on.
Do a double shot every time he says evil doers. Chug the bottle for axis of evil. Are you a president or an exorcist? This guy is the self-proclaimed leader of the free world. Get the fuck out of here. He's quoting the Bible? Are you out of your tit? If that's what gets you through your day, fine, but it's fucking a national day of prayer? Does that scare the spine out of anyone? We're going to have a national day of prayer. Especially when you consider that it's all those dog shit religions that start these fucking wars to begin with. 90% of every war that's ever been fought is because of some made up, mind controlled, completely fictional religion. You never hear in the news, 200 killed today when atheist rebels took heavy shelling from the Gnostic stronghold at the north. No, it's because of your fucking.
Which we've heard this rebuttal. Quick pause. We've heard this rebuttal when we brought this up, me and Matt. Which is, oh, Hitler was an atheist, and Christopher Hitchens came up with the best reply. He's like, nope. Well, in Italy, in Rome, the Catholic Church declared that Hitler's birthday was a Holy Roman holiday.
Oops.
That every member of the SS Guard, whether they were Panzer Guard, infantry, or anything else, or even the Gestapo, was at Catholic Mass every Sunday, and that every single belt buckle from the SS, regardless of division, had the words Gott mit uns on it, which of course means God with us.
Yep.
He said they were not an atheist institution. Hitler might have been an atheist, but all the Nazis were practicing Catholics.
Pretty
you cannot
much,
make
yeah.
that distinction.
Pretty much all of them, yeah.
That's why they were like, oh, we got to eradicate the Jews, the guys that killed Jesus? Yeah, we're down with that.
Yeah.
You really can't, I mean, at least before the United States, can't think of any war. What I mean by, you know, before the United States is, you know, the vast majority of wars were religious based. I mean, you know, our God sucks, or your God sucks, or your version of God sucks. You know, I would say, now I'm probably wrong on this, but the American Revolution was probably the first war that wasn't fought entirely over God. But even then, one of the reasons why they came here in the first place was for freedom of religion.
Yeah, because Britain told them to get the fuck out because those... Robin Williams made the best point about this. How uptight do you have to be that the British said, get the fuck out to the Quakers?
Right. Puritans.
Well, the Puritans. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. Puritans.
I don't mean to defend them, but let's not pick on Quakers. They didn't do a whole lot. It was the Puritans. They were the buttholes that banned Christmas.
Right. But even
religion that banned the celebration of Christmas. Right. You were to spend the day completely in your home doing nothing but reading the Bible. You weren't even allowed to eat on Christmas Day.
But really, I mean, but religion wasn't the thing that kicked off the Revolutionary War.
No.
It was taxes.
Yeah, it was taxes, yeah.
You know, up until that point, really pretty much every war was fought on some kind of
religious yeah.
thing. Maybe not necessarily the battles, but, you know, the wars were pretty much religious-based.
Yeah.
For the most part, actually, it was...
There's some that weren't...
It was actually kind of scary that it was around 200 BC that religious wars started to become common. They have a different faith. We need to go eliminate them.
Yeah.
Before that, a lot of the wars not in the Bible weren't religious wars.
No, they were just...
Then leading up to
territory-based.
Leading up to Jesus... uh-oh. Then everything after that, and then we get to, I think it was actually, it's a hard line to follow though, Frank, because a lot of the times they claimed religion in order to get the church on their side to grant them, you two countries can go to war. The church is totally okay with that. Wait, what?
Yeah.
They're both the same faith, and you're going to let them kill each other because they're the both? That didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Right. But
that didn't make any sense, Pope.
Right. But the vast majority of wars up until we came around were religious-based in some
way. There's a few exceptions along the way, but especially like War of the Roses and then the Hundred Years' War.
And then we came along, and we said, no, we don't like the way you're taxing us. Granted, we originally came here because of religion.
Yeah. Some of them, the first settlers. Yeah, the very first settlers. Right. Yeah.
Then after that, it was like, man, there's a lot of money to be made there.
Right.
And free land? Get rid of these fucking prisoners. But, get them the fuck
but
over
I mean,
here,
but
too.
I mean, even then, all the way up to that point, England really never told the colonies, hey, you can't pray to that god.
It was the First World War we got pissed at.
Well, the First World War was...
No, not...
...substantially about...
But he's not talking.
I'm not
about
talking about World War One. I'm talking about the First World War, 1812. We called it the War of 1812.
Right.
That's what we call it. The rest of the Europe and everything at the time called it the First Great War. Britain and France had a war on our shores, on our land, on our country that Britain owned.
Right.
Then they decided to tax us to pay for it after we fought in that war, and we were like, hey, that's not right. You can't just... Tea is now $700 per bag. Wait a minute. That doesn't add up. What happened? We got to pay for the war. What war? The war you fought in. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. War that you fucking picked to fight with.
Hey, Iraqi veterans, guess what you got to pay for?
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
We're gonna take all your pay and all your pension, and we're going to use it to pay for the war. Right.
Yeah,
that doesn't seem fair.
Right, but that's what happens. But...
That is true.
You think about the major wars that we had. The Revolutionary War, the War of 1812.
Mm-hmm.
The Spanish-American War.
Yep.
The Civil War.
Yep.
The Mexican-American War.
Yep.
World War One.
Yep.
World War Two.
Yep.
Korea. Vietnam.
Iraq
Desert
won.
Storm.
It's political wars more than anything.
Right. Yeah. Are the ones that we decide to call wars... They're political. Yeah.
It's the what do you call them? The social justice warriors.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That are trying to make these wars about
race or religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't like them because they're brown and they pray to a different god than we do. No, we don't give
a fuck about them.
We don't like them because
read a book on their crusades? Because then yes. If not, then no.
Right. No, we don't like them because they like to blow up buildings in New York and kill 3,000 people. Dumbass.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it just happens to follow one of those things where, you know...
Thanks for your help defeating the Russians. Right. Now we blow up your buildings.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
It's not that... The vast majority of Muslims are terrorists. It's just that the vast majority of terrorists are
Muslims. Yeah.
So when you're fighting a global war on terrorism, you're going to look at Muslims.
Yeah.
And saying that's the majority of the people that we're trying to take out.
They put the thug in that fundamentalist.
Yeah. And, you know, but no, you're fighting a war against Islam. No, 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 we're not. No, we're
not. Me personally, well. Anyway.
You're fighting a war against people that want to, I won't even say bastardize, because the people that try to tell me that Islam is a religion of peace can kiss my
ass.
That
is some bullshit. I read the first five, I got five pages in the Quran, right. And I was like, this is not a religion of fucking peace.
Oh, that was the origin story, yeah. By the way. The origin story is full of blood and brimstone.
However, if you read the Bible, Christianity is not exactly a religion of peace either.
No!
I would say Christianity, and this is a person that's anti-religion, Christianity, on paper, in the Bible, yes. Judaism, no. Not by any means.
No.
Well, Christianity,
if you were to be a true Christian, you would listen to...
There's no line of dialogue where Jesus says, love thy neighbor, except for when he really pisses you off. Right. Then you can declare a fatwa on him and a holy war and everything is okay.
Right. But if Christianity were truly a religion of peace, they would have dumped the Old Testament when they created the New.
Yeah.
They don't. They still make you read the Old Testament and say, yeah.
All that shit's true. And then Jesus changed some of this.
Right, but we still want you to read the old shit. Why? Because we want an excuse to kill people.
Yeah. Because if you just focus on the teachings of Jesus Christ, that's a whole lot of love going on.
Thanks, Pope Clarence, for bringing back the Old Testament. That was great.
See, but even then,
that
Jesus,
was great.
But even then, in the New Testament, Jesus came along and said, yeah, I'm giving you a new way to get to heaven.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with the old rules. You still got to follow the old rules. And he's specifically said that.
Saint Hippo. I think it was Saint Hippo.
Right.
Just an Egyptian monk that went up in the hills, read the Bible for like 30 years, and then came down and said, did you know war is okay?
Right. Because really all...
War is totally cool.
All the New Testament really says in a nutshell is that this guy came along and said, hey, if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to get through me before you get through him.
Yeah.
That's really all it did. It put another step in the chain.
That's true.
Christianity is a fucking bureaucracy. That's what it is.
I can agree to that, yeah.
That's really all it was. Christian, nobody can get through heaven except through me. Wait a minute.
But you died.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Right. Wait a minute.
Give up all your possessions.
Yeah. Wait a minute. We can only get through you to God, but aren't you God too?
But Paul told me to use all my possessions in the work of the Lord, but you told me to give all of them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
90% chance Paul was gay.
You know.
90%. After studying the Bible for the first 20 something years of my life, there's a 90% chance that Saint Paul, the Apostle Paul,
the first pope,
flaming
by the way.
Homo. No, that was Saint Peter.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, right. Anyway, Saint Paul is who all of those Catholic priests look to for a role model. You see,
The guy that hated homosexuals.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. You actually trace Paul's writings in the later half of the Bible, and I know this is just a segue, and we get on to a different point after that. But his hate for homosexuals only presents itself in his letters. That's all he ever wrote was letters. Mm-hmm. He wrote fan mail to other congregations.
That was always St. Paul to the Corinthians, St. Yeah.
Paul to the Romans.
Right.
It was only when he was hiding in Greece and then was captured and taken to Rome.
Yeah, of course.
That his course hate for homosexuals presented itself. Never before that.
Of course it was.
Before that, it's like Hebrews. Doing your thing. Everybody, keep doing your thing. Oh, Thessalonica. By the way, you should really hate fags.
Of course it was Greece that changed his mind, because, you know, those Greeks will bend over backwards to show you a good time.
The Romans really hammer that point home, too.
Well, the Greeks were not exactly... They didn't really care about the heterosexual, homosexual. You know, the ancient Greeks.
Yeah, they didn't care about what your genitals were doing. They didn't really give a shit.
Are you guys aware they actually discovered direct archaeological evidence that the insertion of a penis into the anus of another man was actually despicable in Greece, ancient and modern?
Well, into a young man, yes.
No, I changed that for a reason. They found that the boy lover thing came from like this weird like cultural practice they had in ancient Greece, and this is again archaeological evidence. I'm not advocating for it or against it. Obviously, it's a stupid practice. We shouldn't do it. But they would assign a young boy to Matt. I'm picking on Matt.
Yeah.
And one of the things they would do to bond is grind the thighs on the other person's sexual organs to completion. Totally not gay, technically.
Yeah.
But if you actually went the one step further and started inserting into the body, they found that despicable and abhorrent.
All right. Well, the Muslims find homosexuality abhorrent, except for what they used to call Man Love Thursdays.
Or the Muslim pedophile gay rape gangs in England. That's a thing. Look it up. There's parks in London that are patrolled by gangs of Muslim men that seek out young boys.
Matter of fact, you can Google
for their mutual gratification.
Well then.
There are other groups that target women, but there's a few that target young boys for some reason. Allah is pleased.
Apparently.
All I got is rocks off.
Yeah, but that happens.
That happens? I didn't know that was just a thing we got to accept.
No. I was in the middle of
Yeah, it's raining today. The Muslim rape gangs are out. It's just September.
Hold on.
This is actually from Duffel Blog, which is a military satire site. And it comes up and it says, "Press just now realizing what all of those Man Love Thursday jokes are about." That's what I love about the Duffel Blog is they write in a style. I mean, it's obvious if you're in the military that it's satire, but if you're not paying close enough attention, how I got introduced to the Duffel Blog was Ben from Uniformed Ops actually sent me a link to the site one time that said, like, Wisconsin or something like that was going to make veterans identify themselves with signs in their front yard or something like that, so the neighbors would know not to.
Nice. it's kind of like the Onion for military guys.
Right.
I gotcha.
And like I said, it's obvious, you know, plain as day to anybody in the military that this is satire.
Yeah.
But occasionally they do a good enough job that if you don't know Duffel Blog, you go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the editorial board of the New York Times and other media outlets has caught on to the backstory behind the plethora of Man Love Thursday jokes, which had proven uncomfortable laughter to U.S. forces in Afghanistan for nearly 14 years. Man Love Thursday, a running gag on military humor sites like Doctrine Man and ASMDSS refer to the practice of bakabazi, in which Afghan men forcibly rape young boys, often helping them as sex slaves or keeping them as sex slaves. The activity is particularly prevalent on Thursday night, which precedes the traditional Muslim day of rest. Matthew Rosenberg, a New York Times reporter who had extensively covered
Afghanistan. I like how it's Rosenberg.
Initially expressed shock.
Hey, folks,
shock.
I got a story for you.
Initially expressed shock at the Afghan practice, which reluctantly groaning at the adolescent jokes from U.S. troops. The other day, which just so happened to be Thursday, I saw two soldiers go into the woodland to take a piss, and another soldier quipped, "Must be Man Love Thursday." Or "Man must be Thursday." He added, "Seriously, that's messed up, dude." Baki Baza has been outlawed under the Taliban during its rule from 1996 to 2001. Following the U.S. invasion, however, the practice once again flourished in southern Afghanistan after American troops liberated the country and Afghan men finally saw that their wives looked like without burqas on.
And there was a, and he said there was a burglary, which there kind of was. Another Doug Stanhope.
Jesus Christ. They said there was a burglary, which I guess kind of there was. Good old D. Stanhope.
Burglary, I love Doug Stanhope. Burgling, same difference. The appearance of U.S. forces in late 2001 is also credited with putting a stop to the widespread practice of spousal rape and female genital mutilation in the country for at least a day or two. Specialist Thomas Hendricks, currently on his eighth tour of duty in Afghanistan, took time to speak to Duffel Blog while scribbling pictures of penises inside of a porta-john. Which
doesn't sound that far off.
No, they're all over the place.
It's the fucking thing about the American military. We're obsessed with dicks.
Yeah. If you look at any porta-john, especially on a Marine base, there's just going to be pictures of dicks.
Because they know that some guy's going in there to jerk off.
Yeah.
And there's going to be pictures of dicks all over the place.
So you gotta ignore that shit.
they put a challenge to it, probably. They probably draw like little mustaches on it and crap. Right?
Huh?
Yep. They probably draw like little faces and mustaches sometimes, on them. Yeah. Yep. Sometimes. Hey, look at me. I'm a dick.
Seriously? You just now got that about Thursday? It's just like every other dude here is a card-carrying member of Cambla. referring to the Central Asian Man Boy Love Association. I mean, granted, we don't make Man Love Thursday jokes all the time. It's kind of like a slow clap. You have to wait for the moment to be right to make a truly great Man Love Thursday joke. I guess the New York Times just didn't happen to be around during that perfect moment.
Nice.
Now, the revelation the U.S. forces have been supporting Afghan forces suspected of child rape caused the commander of U.S. forces in Afghanistan, General John F. Campbell, to issue a press release. Though these allegations are reprehensible, our forces are still committed to partnering with the Afghan National Army.
Partnering.
Said Campbell, just as long as we're only partners 6 days a week.
The homophobia is real.
Anyway.
That's actually one of the things I really, well, I guess I kind of enjoyed about Generation Kill was that they had a confirmed pillow pants in their group. And they gave him shit about it, but totally accepted it, as long as they knew he was there.
Right, because, I mean, pretty much any unit that I was in, anywhere in the military, there was always that one guy
that you knew
that you couldn't necessarily prove it,
but you knew. Yeah.
And you honestly didn't care.
Yeah. No. Hell no.
Like, they did a good job of it portraying it in the show, too, because the first thing that guy does is strap up in full chemical gear, put like 60 pounds of weight on his back, and go like on a 6 mile run around the base. Mm-hmm. Like, why would we keep that guy out of the military? Everybody else is
there was
bullshitting and jacking off to nudie mags in the outhouse. This guy's still why would we keep that guy out of the military?
I won't mention his name, but in the first unit that I was in, there was a staff sergeant.
Mm-hmm. Staff sergeant?
Yeah. Staff sergeant is actually a rank. I'm not making a joke here.
Oh, no,
he's not a staff sergeant.
Staff sergeant.
Anyway, staff sergeant, the first day I showed up, just his mannerisms and the way he acted was rather effeminate.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I went, and just in my head that first day, I'm like, I thought we didn't let them in. Let alone they're in long enough to make staff sergeant, you know. And about, a month later, we're at a party. You know, just a typical Friday night barracks party.
Yeah.
And he swings by. And again, we look at him and we're like, okay, you know, now again, you know, this is maybe a month of me and he wasn't in my direct chain of command. So I didn't have to deal with him except to see him walking down the hall or something like that. So I didn't talk to him on it. Well, he shows up to the party and He's just hanging out like a normal guy. This is kind of what started my, or this guy is kind of what started my what the hell's really wrong with homosexuals in the military type thing. Because not once did he ever come on to anybody.
Yep.
Not once did he ever do anything other than be an exemplary Marine.
Yeah.
He did his job to the best of his ability. And I finally got down to the point where I'm like, why do I care whose dick he sucks?
Yeah. I'm gonna give Matt a compliment. He came up with the best argument for this when there was a guy that was like, I don't want those guys in our military. He said, so if there was a guy with the tactical genius of Alexander the Great, you wouldn't want him in the military simply because he likes to put his penis in another man's asshole.
Right.
That could save countless American lives in any conflict we ever encounter. You'd keep him out simply because of what he does with his genitals in private in another room.
What?
And finally, my thoughts came down to, you know what? If I got to share a foxhole with somebody, maybe I do kind of want him to think my ass is hot.
Yeah.
Reason being, it might
encourage him a little bit more.
Exactly. If he thinks I'm a little bit hot and the enemy starts shooting at us, maybe he'll save me first.
Yeah.
Protect my ass.
Yeah, he might actually literally and figuratively protect my ass.
Right. It honestly came down to, I don't care who you fuck as long as you're not trying to fuck me.
Yeah.
That's really all I cared about.
Yeah.
You know?
See, this is where the true liberal and the true conservative meet. Can they do the job? Why are we stopping them from doing the job?
Exactly.
That's the true liberal chief. Why are we stopping them?
Why does anyone care?
Can they do the job? Right. Yes.
See,
why do we keep them out of the job?
Exactly. And everybody wants to call that a liberal thing.
No, I mean, it's a meritocracy thing. It's can they do the job?
Right.
Why are we stopping them?
I think it's a conservative thing because me personally, I've always said, look, my personal definition of conservative
It's slightly different than the general concept.
Is that the government should be very conservative in the types of laws
and spending
that it passes and spending.
Yeah.
But even then, the government should have no business.
Remember, that is actually labeled as fiscal conservative.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, the government should really have no business creating laws telling people what they can and can't do in the bedroom.
Period. Period.
Less laws, less government, conservative.
Now, if there are laws that need to be made to grant those rights, like, hey, stop telling people what to do in the bedroom, that's a law. You're not against that in principle, right? I mean, like the gay marriage thing, like when they finally said, yes, gay marriage is constitutional legal, that's not...
That's redefining things.
That's redefining something.
That's a redefinition of the law, yeah.
It is a technically new law, but
it says
governments can't screw with that anymore.
Well, what I'm talking about is... The government has a definition of marriage.
Yeah.
The definition of marriage in the governmental legal sense is now two people get $1,000 a year tax break because they're married.
Two humans.
Yeah.
Two humans get a tax break every year.
Yep.
The government legal definition of marriage never really said anything about...
Exactly. And it really shouldn't.
Why?
Who gives a crap?
Exactly.
It's just unfortunately there were some people that
obviously like the gay guys, they're compacted, but that's a different story. Anywho.
You know, but I mean the
Santorum.
But that's where we fall into the moralistic quasi-religious trap of the United States, because a lot of people like to come out and say, well, the founding fathers based America on religion. No, they didn't.
No, they fucking didn't.
Do you know where that came from, by the way?
Because the Constitution says granted by your creator. No. That's
I was going a different angle with that. I was kind of segueing. Mm-hmm. Rick Santorum. You heard about how his name has like a alternate meaning with gay sex?
No.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh.
Allow me to enlighten Frank.
So as
a byproduct of, let's say, vigorous anal engagement, there might come to pass a frothy mixture of fecal matter and lubricant.
Now, are they using Santorum in kind of like a felching?
I was 17 years old. I was reading The Village Voice, which is from The Village in New York.
Okay.
And it was a newspaper produced for basically for the gay nightclub scene. And I was just reading, browsing through it, and I got to this advice column in the back from this gay writer. And he's not shy about it. He's gay.
Right.
And he got a lot of questions about this substance and how to bypass it, how to get around it, how to not have it happen, and all this other stuff. And he needed a term to actually refer to it as. And at the exact same time in Congress, a certain congressman slash senator was attempting to pass a law that, or was sponsoring and attempting to pass a law that it was illegal in the United States to have sex unless it was a man and a woman in the missionary position for purposes of conception. That man is now trying to run for president again as Rick Santorum.
Yeah, the Catholic definition of sex.
Basically. So he defined that frothy mixture as Santorum.
So we always called it felching.
Now, right then and there, that man sealed that guy's fate that within the gay community and within the liberal and familiar gay community, that man's name would forever be tainted. And as soon as that guy would announce his candidacy for president, somebody would do a Google search and search Rick Santorum. But the Google search would first find the articles from Randy Savage from the Village Voice and find Santorum, the frothy mixture of fecal matter and lube. Right. And you're done. You don't get to be president. Right. You don't get to be president.
Now, I will say that if, you know, because most laws in the United States, or at least originally, were kind of based off of the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Now, if you take out the religious ones of the Ten Commandments, they're not a bad set of lists. What do the Ten Commandments really say?
Don't steal.
Don't steal. Don't kill.
Don't screw your neighbor's wife and don't kill anybody.
Exactly.
Those are pretty good ways to not be a dick.
Right.
It's a list of not how to be a dick.
Yeah.
It's almost like a guy went up on a hill for one day and thought of those.
Oh, man, I need to make a list about how not to be dick. All right, don't steal, honor one God, don't screw your neighbor's life, and that's about it, man. Don't kill anybody. That's about all I got, man. Yeah. There we go.
Moses went to the mountain, and God spoke unto him.
Moses, this is the Lord thy God commanding you to obey my law. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. A deaf man can
hear
you.
Thank God.
What?
Nothing, Gornish, forget it. Oh, Lord, why have you chosen me? What would you have me do for you?
I shall give you my laws, and you shall take them unto the people.
Yes, Lord!
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Lord, I shall give these laws unto thy people. Hear me. Oh, hear me. All pay heed. The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15. Ten commandments to obey.
But yeah.
So Mel Brooks is so good.
Yeah.
I like that he actually used the word Jehovah, because that was the one credence I could stick to as Jehovah. Like, what does Jehovah even mean? Have you ever seen History of the World Part 1? Mel Brooks, he's Jewish. He calls God Jehovah. I mean, oh, yeah, I remember that. Like, that's God's name. Oh! Well, it's his name in English, but yeah, that's his name.
I mean, we can go through the list here. And let's see. We can just throw out the first one.
Wait, let me do how was my week? We still haven't done that.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that.
Because Matt's wondering.
I really am wondering.
He's wondering how my 2 weeks went, because I haven't been...
We'll get to that in the second hour here. Let's just finish this up real quick, because we got on the topic of religion because of Matt's atheism.
Again, and we're drinking.
Right. We can just throw out the first one completely. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house. But anyway.
You don't need that shit.
Yeah.
Get that fucking shit out of here.
Now, the main first one that everybody knows, the Roman Catholic version of them, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Just throw that one out.
Yep, don't need that one.
Yep. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. You can just throw that one out too. Don't need that.
That's the second. That's the second one again. We don't need that. We can reduce that down to one, and we can still throw it out.
Throw out the third one too. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
It's the same as the second one. Get rid of it too. Yep.
Throw out the next one too. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Throw that.
You put
one
that
out
in the Mosaic Law. We don't even need that. Get out of here.
The first one that you can really keep: honor your mom and dad.
That makes sense.
Let's keep that.
It makes sense. But George Carlin did bring a good caveat to that.
Why honor somebody that's a moron?
Yep.
Right.
It should be based on parents' performance.
So we get rid of that, too.
It should be. But then again, if people follow these from the beginning.
I like honor thy elders. If they're old,
yes!
If they've made it that far in life, give them a little due respect and wait till they die. And they don't have to give them any more respect.
But I think that one was really put in for the kids.
Yeah.
You know,
for the kids.
Yeah, when you're 5, 6 years old.
A few balloon animals.
You know, they got to throw one in for the kids. Hey, listen to your mom and dad, dumbass.
Yeah, you idiot.
Right. Don't kill. We'll keep that one. Don't kill.
That's a great one. We've been trying to keep that one forever.
Although this one really should say, I think, don't murder.
Yeah.
Because there's a difference between killing and murdering.
Yeah.
We'll mend that and not throw it out.
Right. So I'll say, don't murder. Because you can kill somebody to protect yourself. You can kill somebody to protect your family. You know,
I agree with that.
If they're trying to kill you, you can kill them.
That's fair.
But don't murder. Murder being
defense.
Yeah, defense is fine. But don't just go out
willy nilly.
Right.
A murdering.
Don't commit adultery.
I guess.
I guess that's a good practice.
I guess
it's a good practice, but I don't know if it's a law.
Well, the difference is law. Right.
But remember what Christopher Hitchens did that George Carlin didn't. He combines it with the next one, which I think is "Thou shalt not steal."
Right, but
which is the exact same premise.
Right, but the difference,
except it puts the blame on the third party, like you stole that man's wife.
Right,
you were in that. Don't do that.
Right, but the question of adultery brings up: is adultery sex outside of marriage, or is it sex outside of your marriage? Like, if neither of you are married, is that adultery? Technically, yes. According to the religious view of
based on the religious view, yes.
Well, that's fornication. That's fornication, right, is adultery, but not all adultery is fornication, but not all fornication is adultery.
Right, but I'm telling you how the religious, especially the Catholics, view it. You know, like, 2 18-year-old people not married decide to have sex.
Well, that's fornication.
Most religions will call that adultery because you're having sex outside of marriage.
Right.
I would say
they really screwed up that term then, because they had a whole other word for that. That was fornication.
Right.
Sex before marriage.
I know. But they're really combining things here. I would say if you're married, don't fuck around outside of the marriage.
I can give you
that. Yeah.
If you're both 18, neither of you are married, fuck away.
Yeah. Who cares? I don't give a
shit. But even then, do you want to legislate morality like that?
No, I don't.
So we just throw that one.
Yeah, we can throw that one away.
Wait, do we want to? No. Does someone else that might be this almighty spaghetti monster in the sky? Yes, apparently he does.
Apparently he gives enough of a fuck that, I created the bonding of two human beings. They need to be...
Fuck you, it's not a bonding, it's mutual masturbation, and you know that's what it is.
Yeah.
I was talking about...
With a chance of a kid coming out of it.
I was talking about marriage.
It's like a fleshlight with embryos, that's all it is.
I was talking about sex.
Hold on. We're just throwing that one out.
Yeah,
don't steal. That's a good one.
Perfect. Love it.
Thou shalt not steal. Oh, okay. You don't take what's not yours. All right, that makes sense. But that combines with adultery. But anyway.
Yeah.
Then the next one, don't lie.
All right, that makes sense. Don't steal, don't lie.
Legislating morality.
Or
but
as they say, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy enemy. Don't lie.
Even in science, that is wrong. That's not legislating morality. You can't state as fact that which is not.
I agree with that, okay.
Right.
Yeah. So the lights are on in this room. That's a fact. If I say one light is on in this room, that's a fact. All lights are on in this room. I'm lying now because I know that it's not.
Right.
But I
like that one. Don't lie.
Don't lie.
You take that one along with the don't steal and don't commit adultery, and basically you get to the George Carlin version of don't be a dick.
Yeah.
But anyway, don't lie. Don't steal. Don't kill anybody or don't murder anybody.
Yeah.
Don't covet. Fuck you. as George Carlin exactly put it, that keeps the fucking economy running.
It keeps the economy going.
Right. How did he put it exactly? If you got a 12-inch, or if the neighbor has a 12-inch dildo that sings "Oh Come All Ye Faithful," you want
a 12-inch dildo that sings "Come All Ye Faithful."
As Hitchens put it, on that it's basically an amendment to the commandment before it: "Thou shalt not steal; thou shalt not covet." To covet is to want before you steal.
Right.
Yeah. So now we're talking about thought crime.
You're talking about thought crime. Let's get rid of that. Right. Let's leave the predecessor. Don't steal.
Yeah.
You can want it, but you don't need to steal it.
Yeah. You can think about it all you want.
Why are we penalizing thought?
You can think about murdering that motherfucker down the street you don't like.
If you sit in your heart, screw you, God.
Yeah. Which was another basis of my argument that I made.
Me want to have sex with a lot of women to fill the earth.
Right.
I can think about that chick while I'm whacking it. Oh, but whacking it's a sin. What am I supposed to do now?
I'm surprised. That's probably one of the five that he dropped.
Yeah.
You know? That's in the mosaic, actually. You shall
thou not jerk off.
No, yeah. It's if a man come to spill his seed upon the ground,
right,
and not upon a within a woman.
Yeah, what is this? It is worse to spill your seed on the ground than in a prostitute, basically.
Yeah. So if you're going to screw, at least screw a woman. That's what it said. That's what the fucking Bible said. Yeah.
If you're going to come,
a prostitute, it's a lesser sin than masturbating.
Which, in that same story, I believe a couple of verses before that, the reason that was said is because God had commanded this guy to basically, like, fuck his sister or his brother's wife
You're telling me we can legislate the legalization of prostitution on biblical principle.
Yes.
All right, let's do this. Let's make the campaign.
Yeah.
The oldest profession shall be legal, as so saith the Bible.
And watch them fucking blind.
But really,
it's still a sin. Yeah, but it's a lesser sin. We need to legislate the lesser sin, guys.
Right. But really, imagine if we just took those three commandments. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't lie.
God, I wish I had a mustache to twist on that.
Pretty much every law created.
Yeah.
Should be based on those three.
Yeah.
I can't agree. It's a Bronze Age civilization that had no idea what modern morals are about.
I'm talking about now, not them.
No, I'm still talking about now. It's a Bronze Age civilization that had no idea what morals were, the complications of human interaction, or the possibility of global communications. Why would we ever base a law on what a fucking Bronze Age civilization said?
Hey, but it still works.
Do we think that stealing is wrong? Yes. Do we think that, you know, screwing your neighbor's wife is morally wrong, but you can't legislate morality.
No, we threw that one out.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But we can't legislate against adultery. You can't bring a guy to the fucking courthouse and say, this guy screwed my wife. Throw him in jail. You can't do that.
No. That's why I said you base the laws off of those three. Don't murder. Don't steal. I wouldn't even say base laws off. Don't lie.
I'm not even giving them the credence enough to say base it off of that. I'm saying that those concepts hold up over time.
Right.
I'm not basing it off of those. Fuck that. These are people that didn't even know how to make swords.
I know. But I mean, how much less complicated would our legal system be if they weren't trying to legislate everything? I swear to God, it's probably illegal for us to breathe right now.
For us to smoke, technically. Because
we're putting carbon dioxide into the air and therefore contributing to global warming. So I bet if you look in the EPA rules somewhere, it's probably against. I mean, it's against the law technically for cows to fart.
Yeah, that's fucking stupid. So, that one's fucking stupid.
Because cows create methane, which contributes
I know that law, but that's not how it's worded. It's worded that you can't have too many heads of cattle in the United States because they fart too much. But that's EPA guidelines, and they fine you if you don't go to jail for that.
Because the problem with the way our government is set up right now is that you have Congress that creates all of these bureaucratic agencies. The bureaucratic agencies get to create law or rules that have the force of law. Yeah.
Okay.
I bought an 18-pack for a reason. I was assuming we were going to tap.
The law or the rules that these agencies
quarter thing of Jack over there.
Yeah. The rules that these agencies create that have the force of law.
I wanted a nice light jump off with the Jack, and then we just
cruise from there.
Yeah.
I think I got my jump off.
So,
yeah.
But I'll guarantee you, I can. I, me personally, as a conservative of get the hell out of my life government, could go through the U.S. code and probably get rid of 90% of it.
I am complete.
I, as a liberal, could say I could get rid of 70%.
Yeah.
I'm dead. We're lining up on a lot of shit that it doesn't make sense. We're just disagreeing on how it should be re-implemented.
Maybe that's what I'm saying. Maybe there is a point. There should be another podcast that we can do. Okay, we're going to go through the U.S. code.
We can do that.
We could do that. That would be a 50-year podcast because have you seen the U.S. code? The U.S. code would fill something like 8,000 tractor trailers.
Yeah, let's do it. I volunteer as a liberal.
I'm cool with that.
As a, not a conservative, I'm a left of center liberal.
Maybe we'll just make that a part of this podcast.
And I can
we'll
tell you're it. A right of center conservative. You're not saying God should rule our country. You're saying we need fiscal conservancy. The government should have a small part in our lives.
The government should really be doing
Yes, he has,
little,
but he took the Mary version.
The what?
There actually is.
The political compass survey. Yeah. He took the Mary version, which was on Facebook. It's not the full one.
Right.
Okay.
The full one is like 200 questions.
Yeah, it called me a libertarian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually makes a whole lot of sense for you, Frank. Yeah. It really does.
It does, except for the libertarian's point of view on the military.
Yeah, that's true.
There's really not anything to define me.
Fair.
That's why I say right of center.
There's a lot of like all three of us, there's a lot of things that we mix.
You're not against unemployment.
Right. Unemployment insurance?
Right. You're not against it.
I'm not against it, no. But I am against people
abusing it.
Yeah.
So that's right of center. Yeah. It makes sense to have that program, but why are we...
Yeah.
We shouldn't be spending billions of dollars. Right. Yeah, that's right
of
center.
I've got no problem with helping people out when they need help.
Right.
I do have a problem helping people out because they're lazy.
And see, here I am on the left of center side, even a little bit down, even a little bit up into the authoritarian, saying, why are we making it so easy for employers to fire people and qualify for unemployment? Mm-hmm. Can we meet a middle ground here? Look at his eyes. He's thinking about it. See, like, can we compromise on this and say it's harder to exploit unemployment, but it's also harder for the employers to exploit the workers? Can we meet a middle ground in there somewhere with 100 days to talk and hammer out the laws and thinking, yes, we probably could hammer out a middle ground.
Yeah.
Ta-da! Oh, why doesn't politics work? Because we elect politicians.
Right. But I also don't like the idea of telling an employer they have to keep somebody on the payroll just because they hired them. If there's a reason to fire somebody, they should be able to fire
Why'd you fire that guy? Yeah. I thought about it that day.
I didn't like his face.
Well, you pay his wage for like 3 months. Fuck you, dude.
I didn't like his face. Right. That's not good.
I didn't like that's not. He smarted off to me at work one day.
That's a legitimate reason.
Well, no,
how did he smart off?
It can be.
He told me my business plan sucked, and these were the reasons why we should improve it.
Oh, this segues into my work week.
No, it could be. It could be a legitimate reason,
right? Depending upon the reason why he's bitching at you,
right, and whether it's his job to bitch at you like that, because there are jobs out there where it would be my job to tell you that your business plan sucks.
And this is where I relate that it takes a guy sitting behind the desk at the unemployment office with common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's a bullshit reason. Is that exactly how it happened, employer?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's a bullshit reason. But now he gets unemployment. Right. Fuck you.
But it's the same. But then again, you look at the people that are on disability now. You know, it's the same argument. I don't have a problem with disability for people that are legitimately disabled and can't work.
Right.
It's redefinitions of certain
There are people on disability that shouldn't be on disability.
Yet. Did I ever fucking tell you about this?
Yet. My wife, who I'm sure you guys would both agree with all of her health problems.
Well, she actually has a condition now that actually keeps her from working. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, even that, you know, the different medical problems that she has and all this, that, and the other, can't get disability.
Can't fucking get it.
And the discrimination in the workplace, like, oh, well, we need you to stand for 12 hours at a time. Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Do I not get 15 minutes? No.
Right.
What?
Right. But even before that, her medical conditions, her defined limitations by her doctor, she couldn't get a job. There was nobody that would hire her.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's a level of legislation that is proper and makes sense.
Right.
that protects the people both from the government and from themselves. Mm-hmm. In the middle.
Yeah, absolutely.
You shouldn't be able to fuck your way onto welfare.
Mm. Hell no. Why?
No.
Oh, she had five kids. She gets $600 a month.
Fuck that.
Why? Well, she's got six kids to take care of. Well, so we need to make condoms cheaper? We need to subsidize condoms? Well, they right. won't use condoms. So what do we need? We need to sterilize? What's the fucking solution here?
Exactly.
Give me a solution. Not just hand them problem. Fucking money.
Well, kids are going
to
starve. Well, I feel bad for the kids. How are we supposed to feed? Son of a bitch. The planet is overpopulated.
This is the stance that AT&T takes that I actually completely understand with their operating procedure. Because they don't actually...
This is a stance that... an employer that is in no way related whatsoever to anybody in the show.
Yeah.
Hold on. You remember your $1,000 tax break from being married? Mm-hmm. I actually had a slight way around this, which you're against taxes, so you might be in favor of. If you have no more than two kids...
I'm not against taxes.
But no less than one, you get a $1,000 tax break. We're not making it illegal to have more than two kids. We're not making it illegal to not have kids.
Well, I think
if you have one or two kids, you get a $1,000 tax break a year.
Right. Well,
that's it.
Right.
You're incentivizing people.
Control your privates. Well, yeah, that's what I'm incentivizing.
And I think I even brought that up one time with an argument with you, Matt.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have a problem with welfare.
Yeah.
I have a problem with giving them more money for each kid they pop
out. Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree with that. I completely agree.
So it's one of those,
it's a vagina, not a clown car.
You get a set amount of money.
Yeah.
And if you pop out more, that's your own damn
thing. I'm as a liberal, I'm against giving them money. Money can be spent they can spend it on booze, they can spend it on drugs, they can spend it on shoes for the kids, clothes for the kids, school supplies for the kids, they can spend it on really admirable things, or they can spend it on completely useless shit that makes no fucking sense.
Well, here's a question for you.
Kids remain dumb and stupid.
Hold on. Here's a question for you then. What about the legislatures that are trying to legislate what people can and can't buy with food stamps?
I don't like the concept of food stamps being a dollar amount on a card. I don't. I like the old system where it was actually you have five milk stamps a month. You have six bread stamps a month. I actually liked the old system. And it was all the complaints like, we just need money because what if I need like six Lunchables that week?
Right.
Well, don't buy Lunchables week.
Well, that's what
that's where government cheese right. came from.
Buy some government damn cheese
figure out a fucking way to do it.
Well, that's WIC.
Which
also combines into that program.
Right. But that's what some of the legislatures are actually trying to do. It says, look, you can't buy soda with our card. You can buy milk. You know, basically, they're coming out and they're saying you're not going to be able to buy
I'd be the
treats,
extremist on there that says, let's also put bottled water on that. Why? They don't need to buy, but we have tap water. We're already helping them pay their water bill and pay their power bill.
I would make...
But the water is impure. Let's fix the purification then.
I was going to say,
fix the right fucking problem, not give them more money.
I would make an exception to that because there are certain places in this country where you don't want to drink the tap water.
Right. Give them clean tap water. That's actually one of the things I'm for as a liberal. Everybody should have access to clean tap water.
Yep.
Clean air. Relatively.
Right. However you can.
I don't have a problem with stuff like the Clean Air Act and stuff like that. I have a problem when the EPA takes it to extremes.
Yeah, as an extreme, it's bad, but you shouldn't be able to have a residential area within 200 feet of a fucking factory.
It should be the other round.
A fuming factory. No, that's bad.
Right, no.
Well, the factory shouldn't be within...
Mom, they've done their power lines.
Well, that's... No, you see, but then again, you have to look at it, too, which was there first. Because, I mean, you look at the Davenport Foundry that they shut down a few years ago because it was too dirty.
Talking about Blackhawk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when that thing was built, it was out there in the middle
of
nowhere.
That's why we line
itself.
Up on so much. I'm authoritarian left, and he's just right of center. We line up a lot.
You know? And then I'm the weirdo that's the left.
You know,
but
you're left down. You're actually in the Gandhi sector. I'm in the Hitler. I'm the libertarian.
Yeah.
But I mean, three notches down that compass from Hitler.
Yeah. Right. But I mean,
when
they originally built the Black Hawk Foundry, it was in the middle of bumfuck nowhere by itself.
Yeah.
And then the neighborhood spread up around it.
Yeah.
Then they started bitching about the foundry. It's the same thing as those assholes that move 300 feet from the end of a fucking airport runway and then bitch about airplane noise.
Yeah, the airport.
Fuck you. The airport was there before you. Yeah. If you don't want to deal with airport noise, don't move next to an airport.
I could agree with that. And it, on some extent, on some stances. Now,
I don't have a problem with the EPA coming along and say, look, you can't just straight burn coal and dump it straight into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
That's screwed up. Here are the limits.
Stay within the limits.
Stay within the limits.
There's also a couple tricks around that.
There's also a cost-benefit analysis to that, too.
Yeah.
You know, where you look at it and say, okay, this is reasonable limits, but they've already reached the limit, reasonable limit points, and now the EPA is to the point where they're trying to justify their existence.
Right.
So they're coming up with more limits.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm totally against, like, a fucking... any entity in existence whatsoever. Once you achieve your fucking goal, mm-hmm. if that's it, you should either stay right. there because or you should fucking disappear.
Because the air in the water now is by far cleaner than it was in the 1960s and 70s.
In the 70s, yeah, absolutely. Deep. We got it. We're right. good.
You just, yeah. Granted, there's still work to be done.
Right.
But they need to focus...
In maintaining, first off.
Right, but I mean, the EPA, you know, needs to focus on specific problems, not this overreaching...
Yeah, oh yeah.
I agree.
...bullshit that they do now, where, hey, you've managed to meet the limits that we set 10 years ago, so now we're going to make them even lower. Look, no, are the limits that you have now acceptable? People can breathe, people can drink water?
The question that has like to I be, said the question the that has EPA, to be asked in that point
the EPA to the point now is that they're trying to justify their existence, so they have to right. keep lowering these fucking limits. And it's to the I mean, granted, some of the limits that they did are fine. Yeah, you can't dump raw sewage in the river.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Thank you, EPA. That's what you were built for. Don't dump raw sewage into the river.
You got to do your death level best to make sure a nuclear reactor doesn't melt down. Yeah.
That's actually not the EPA.
That's not the EPA. That's a whole other agency.
Yeah.
But the EPA.
That should overlap. It doesn't.
That's fucking stupid.
See, it's fucking stupid.
And we can get into that later, too.
And Amazon's liberal. I'm like, the EPA is either A, not doing its job, or B, has overstepped.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm not saying he's interfering with business, but he's overstepped into bureaucracy rather than actually right. protecting the yeah. environment.
Yeah. yeah. That's where George Lucas got it right. Enter the bureaucracy.
Yeah. You know,
the true power. Because... nobody elected the bureaucracy.
No.
That's around now. The bureaucracy is 98% of the government right now.
Yep.
What happens is that Congress comes out and says, here's the law.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, EPA, we want clean rivers and air.
Air.
If elected, I can cut costs of the government by 70% in 6 years. Right. Running in 20... Well, oh, yeah. The next one is 2018, and then...
60%.
We got
2024. I'm running because I'll be 35.
Yeah,
I'll cut costs by 70% in 6 years. Everybody will have more jobs. Why? Because I'll actually make employers responsible for their fucking decisions.
Because you're gonna have 2 million more people in the fucking unemployment line, man.
I need to give people a reason to make new jobs, Frank. What should America invest in? Technology, science, and education.
We have to have government jobs because the government.
No.
No, you fucking don't.
We do not have to have government jobs.
Well, they're not going to be able to find jobs anywhere.
No, I make programs that actually stimulate the economy, then fire my government employees and let them go to the private sector as a liberal. I'm saying this as a liberal. Yeah. Go to the private sector, my agents come in, and when they say something is bad, it's bad. You better do it, or your company will be closed down in a month.
Yeah.
Authoritarian left. You have a 1 month to fix your crap. If it's not fixed, you're dead.
Hilarious part
about... But I'm going to lose all my millions. Don't care. That'll go back into the economy.
Hey, you know what the awesome part is? This is where this
comes. We're banks. Can we get a bailout? No. You'll let the economy crash? Yes. I will be the president that allows the world to fall.
You're the ones that fucking put us in there. You with your fucking math, remember, bullshit.
I'll be the one that comes on the speech the next day and says, hey, banks, when everyone is in debt, including the banks, no one is in debt.
Yep.
Oops. Just fix the system with one little clause. when you owe everyone money and everyone owes you owe money, nobody, yeah, we're just going to null that to zero for a while.
Yep.
I'm not going to do it, but you should. That'll lose our millions. I don't care.
I don't care.
I'm getting paid $100,000 a year. I don't care. Or actually, you know what? As president, I'll be the first person that takes a $20,000 pay for my 4 years, $5,000. I'm getting chef meals every day that are checked for poison. I have a secret security team that answers to my every beck and call.
I
get to fly anywhere in the world within 24 hours.
I don't.
Why do I need $100,000 or $500,000 a year? I don't fucking need it. I don't fucking need it.
It's $400,000 a year, and I don't have.
I still don't fucking need $400,000 a year on that.
I don't have a problem with the president making $400,000 a year. In the grand scheme of things,
he should probably be making
more. When Clinton made $5 million in his first 2 years after being president on speaking engagements alone that I realized the presidential salary is bullshit.
I don't have a... Well, they have to pay him something.
They have to pay him something. What's that something?
I don't have a problem with the president making $400,000 a year. The president is pretty much the lowest paid CEO in the country.
Yeah.
That's why I'll actually take... By far the lowest. I'll take the 0.00001% of that wage as president. It doesn't save any money for the country, but I will be saying, no. I don't give a shit about the money. No. I really don't give a shit about the money. Right. I give a shit about the goddamn country. That's what I give a shit about.
I don't have a problem with $400,000 a year for the president. I really don't. When you figure when he wants to go across the country for a speaking engagement,
bullshit.
That costs $10 million for him to move.
Bullshit.
Air Force One.
It's complete
the backup
bullshit.
Air Force. A third plane to carry his limo.
And how many presidents have done that? Everyone back to fucking Nixon.
They all
have
done that. Well, actually, it's everybody all the way back to Eisenhower.
Well, I mean, yeah, basically, that's when the inflation really started. But yeah, basically, yeah. You have the White House, which... Not many people know this outside of me and Frank, is the communications hub of the fucking world.
Mm-hmm.
At your beck and call, that you still had to travel.
I didn't know
2,000 miles across country to give a speech to say that you support the Boy Scouts.
Well,
fuck you, dude.
I've had that problem. I've had that problem with the government in general because I mean, if you look at all the traveling people in the government do, you could save 95% of your travel costs in the government. If they would use Skype.
You know what?
Why is telepresence not a fucking thing in the federal government?
It is slightly in the federal government, but not key members of Congress, Senate, and the president. There's that whole... It's literally FaceTime, but not the app. It's the photo op of, look, me, a Republican, mm-hmm. and a Democrat are shaking hands on camera.
See,
photo op.
If I had my,
that's what it is.
If I had my
that's
way,
stupid.
It's fucking stupid. It's fucking pointless. Stupid.
If I had,
we could call each other
exactly.
and talk this shit out
if I
in
had,
two
yeah.
fucking hours.
If I had my way, congressmen would never leave
their fucking
their district.
Districts. yeah. I'm
maybe,
completely okay with that.
Maybe once a year
you
for a couple of weeks.
For a congressional meeting that's like a few hours fucking long.
Right.
And then you go back
to
your fucking district
because,
and do your goddamn
because
job.
Let me explain to you what they do right now. Especially representatives.
Oh,
but
I know. I know what they fucking do. They go and stay in a hotel in goddamn Washington, D.C. for fucking 20 months on a year.
No, wait for it. They fly home Thursday night. They're in their home district Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and part of Monday. They fly back to Washington Monday afternoon.
Vote yes on a few things. Vote no on a few things.
They're in Washington for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and they do that every week.
You know how all these things are lining up where they say Congress is in session on Christmas this year?
No.
And then there's the hold on.
There's one guy. There's one guy.
Then there's the Trans-Pacific Partnership Act.
Yeah.
And it's coming up on holiday. Insert holiday. Most of the congressmen that are opposed might fly home on that.
No, they do. When Congress
The Congress might, that's why they start appealing to their constituency and saying, get everybody
everybody to say they don't want me to vote because that way I can miss Easter with my family. Fuck you, dude.
Congress.
Vote fucking no.
Congress. Congress technically has not been out of session for something like 15 years. What they do is that they leave one guy there who calls Congress into session for about 10 seconds a day.
Shit.
To an empty room. Calls it into session. He leaves. Comes back about 23 hours later.
Does the same thing.
6,000 pages. I read the TPPA Act.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership
Act.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem that I have with Congress.
And guess what?
Is it all bullshit?
It's all everything they said on the internet was right. It's NAFTA for Southeast Asia.
That's pretty much it.
That is fucking ridiculous.
And it passed.
All right. I'm starting my platform right now. Because I've told you this. I'm officially announcing my write-in candidacy for the President of the United States. I'm not going to spend any money.
No party?
Huh?
No party?
No, no party.
Independent. Go independent.
No, I'm asking him, not you. Fuck you.
I'll have a party if I win.
Independent is a party. By the way, that's what's fucked up about this country.
Right. No,
independent is a fucking party.
I am not running as any kind of party.
There we go.
This is just, I'm running on the Radio FUBAR party. The unofficial. created by me. I'm the only member.
Are you running in 2022?
No, I'm running this year. 2016.
2018. That's the election year.
No.
It's 2016. Oh, so yeah. I'm running in 2020. I'll be the person that runs against you if you had four years.
Assuming you're 31 now, you can run in 2020.
I'm 29. So 2024.
Yeah, so you'd have to wait until 20.
Aha, so you've had your 8 years.
No, yeah, so you can
I'll
take
fix
over
your
after
shit.
My 8 years. All right. So we're gonna take the next hour and a half of the show, and
that'll be the worst because I'll be running against actually that made kind of sense.
Mm-hmm.
He got a couple things liberally wrong, but. You got it conservatively right. So what's the solution? I don't fucking know anymore.
As soon as Matt's done in the pisser, we'll start because you guys will be on my.
Well, I did the math wrong on that. Yeah, it's 2016. Man, I'm dead wrong.
Yeah, because you guys will obviously be part of my political team.
I do not want to be your campaign manager. I'll be your propaganda manager.
No, I'm going to be my own damn campaign manager.
List me as like an agent, and then I'll be your propaganda manager.
No, I don't like the idea of Goebbels.
No, trust me. Trust me. Everyone needs a Goebbels. Everyone needs a Goebbels. Matt, who?
It's not propaganda. You're
I already told him, Matt, we've already had this arrangement. When we take over the world, Matt will be the figurehead in every sense of the word. But there will be someone in his ear going, Matt, that's a fucking stupid idea.
Stupid fucking idea.
So, so what we're going to do.
Here, and I control the secret police. Don't do that. Good idea.
Yeah, it's a fantastic idea.
What we're going to do is we're going to take the next 15 minutes and let Pete talk about how shitty his work week was, or the last 2 weeks.
15 minutes? Fuck you, dude.
All right, a half hour. Maybe we'll just do the next hour and a half, the live portion. And then we'll do the
after hours.
We'll do the overtime will be my official plank.
Your candidacy.
But you know how parties have planks. They have their defined.
You mean your platform? That's
platform
what you're trying to
plank.
Say.
Well, they actually call them planks.
They call them platforms. I think.
No, they actually call
military call it planks.
No. The whole thing is called a platform.
Okay.
But each individual part of it is called a plank.
Okay. I didn't know that. But
so we'll actually go through the planks to create.
I'm
going to
agree with half of them and just hate the rest. But anyway,
we'll see how long it takes you to talk about. Pete got a new.
You've
job,
worked
everybody.
In a restaurant for a long time.
Yeah.
They had a system.
Yes.
Welcome to my world. There is no system. Or if the system is there, it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't fucking exist.
It doesn't make sense.
Imagine.
Why does this exist?
Imagine, Matt. Pete technically should have two bosses.
Right.
Directly two. In a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Your kitchen and your
kitchen manager.
And the general manager. That should be it.
And I answer the owner only on the worst call scenario. I showed my dick to a server and then put it in the mashed potatoes. Right. I'm answering to the owner.
Yeah.
But even then, technically he has one boss. There should only be one person that he answers to at any given time.
Right.
Which would be the kitchen manager.
Yep.
If the general manager has a problem with the way that Pete's doing his job,
it should go downhill. My job, just any cook doing their job.
Right.
I'm not saying this is all on Pete.
Right. But what I'm saying is that if the general manager...
This was hate on the cooks. What pissed me off. Right. But Dan Dutton trained me right. You abused your cooks.
Right. But what I mean is that if the general manager has a specific problem with you, the general manager shouldn't be talking to you. They should be talking to the kitchen manager, and he should bring it up with you. Or tell that general manager, I don't have a problem with what he's doing.
Or I prefer the military tactic, which is my general manager steps in the way of the bullet, catches the bullet, and then after the bullet shooter is gone, turns and fires the bullet at me.
You mean your kitchen manager.
He gets chewed out for me, then he turns around and chews me out.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm okay with that system. Yeah. I'm down with that system.
That's what I'm saying.
Got me in fucking trouble. You were doing your fucking job. You know what? Yell at me all day. This makes sense.
Exactly.
I'm comfortable with this.
Because when all is said and done, the kitchen manager is supposed to be ultimately responsible for what goes on in his kitchen.
For those at home, by the way, kitchen manager is code word for chef. You go to a restaurant. There's a kitchen manager for all intents and purposes, as goes the way that a kitchen works. He is the chef. He is in charge of everything that happens in the kitchen.
Right. And then he's working usually.
From prep to line, he is the guy. From ordering to prep to the line, he is the guy that everyone answers to in the kitchen.
And he's responsible for anywhere between 2 and 20 line cooks.
Yeah. And a couple of prep cooks in between. Yeah.
Right.
He's our sergeant major, as you will. He's not a lieutenant. He's a sergeant. Right. He's a sergeant major.
He's more like a platoon sergeant. Sergeant
major. Yeah, he's a warrant officer of the kitchen. There we go.
Yeah. No, because warrant. Yeah, that would work.
That warrant officer of the kitchen.
Anyway, he's ultimately responsible for that kitchen.
So last Saturday is the worst shift in any restaurant I've ever cooked. By far. By or none.
Gotcha.
I've had a restaurant where I've had a banquet order where I was the cook in charge, where the wedding party ordered 600 chicken breasts and the chicken breasts didn't come. This was worse.
Oh, shit.
Did you have quail?
No, we don't have game birds like that. We improvised.
Cornish hens.
I'm not going into that story. That's a different story. I can improvise chicken out of chicken. Don't worry. Chicken tastes like everything. I can improvise something that tastes like everything. Don't worry. Anyway.
So you can't make bacon taste like chicken.
We're short 2 cooks. We have 5 cooks scheduled. One calls in. He's sick.
Yep.
Okay, he's sick. Another one doesn't show up. He thought he worked at a different time. Shit. So we have 3 cooks on a line on Saturday night, the busiest night in any restaurant.
And you're supposed to have 5.
We're supposed to have 5 minimum. Minimum 5. We have 3.
Especially Ross's on Saturday fucking night.
Now, we're not naming the place.
You have the most experienced cook on that line.
137.57. I'll go through and beep that out.
I'm sorry.
We have the most experienced cook on the line. His name is Sean. You know that guy.
I don't have a pen.
Then we have
137.
We have Buddy. We have Buddy, his legal name. Buddy.
Yeah, I know, buddy.
Okay. And me.
Yeah.
Who's pretty damn good on a line once I know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
They seat 25 tables in about 15 minutes.
Yep.
Not a problem. We get those tickets for all those tables, some of them 8 tops, within 5 minutes. Now, this is not a critique of people at home. If you want something special on your burger, the cooks will help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those tickets that came back within 5 minutes all had spec orders on every single item. It was a Morning Mountain sub blank. Right.
Now
it was a cheeseburger sub blank. Right. It was a Ross Burger sub Texas toast.
God damn it! Quit talking.
It was every single fucking item on every single fucking one of those 25 fucking tickets. Every single one of the items had spec on it.
Right, which would be fine normally, but you know how normally it would work, Matt? You get 8 tables that come in, sit down at the same time.
Yep.
And your waitresses go out, and they ask table number 1, what would you like, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah. And then you take that ticket, you walk back to the kitchen, you hang it up, you go to the next table.
Yeah. Yeah, you go to, you take the order, the drink order, you give them a minute to order their food.
Yep.
Get the drink order.
Yep.
Bring it back, take their food order, take the next table's drink order, go over to the computer, enter the dinner order for the first table, enter the drink order for the second table, take drinks, next table, etc. Right. You keep going with that train of there's a slight delay between, there's a 10-minute, 5-minute delay, 5 to 10-minute delay between everything.
Now, what they did is imagine one waitress for 8 tables.
What they did.
She went to all 8 tables and then went to the kitchen and went,
no, we had like 7 servers that night. Let's be
fair. Well, I know. I'm just
so they had a 3-table circuit to run. So they, what they did is they went up and like, hi, my name is Bloop, and what do you want? And then they went over to Frank. Hi, my name is Bloop, what do you want? And then they went over to Mary. Hi, my name is Bloop, what do you want? And then they punched it all in all at once.
Right, but I mean, I was trying to just
all 3 tickets
to give our listeners an idea. Imagine one waitress handling 8 tables. She took the orders from all 8 of them tables and then took all of those tickets and hung them up at the exact same time. So at this point, that first table is already waited.
Yeah.
15 minutes.
15 minutes, 20 minutes.
And
been sat for 30 right now.
Right.
So that first ticket comes in with all them specs and it's a 5 or 6 or 7 top. And the next ticket a 4 top, and the next ticket a 5 top, and the next ticket a 3 top, next ticket a 2 top, next ticket a 7 top. All comes streaming back at once with appetizers mixed in.
Of course.
And we're shorthanded.
Well, then.
It was a hell. It was a hell on earth. We had like 10, 15 tables walk out, and you know what? We didn't even blink. The supervisors didn't even blink. They know we were screwed. We knew we were screwed. Mm-hmm. The servers didn't realize we were screwed. That was the hard part. So I turned around at one point after the third item.
And right there is where the front of house manager dropped the ball.
No, this is where one retarded server dropped the ball. The front of house. This is one server I had to actually turn around and say, shut the fuck up.
But what I mean is because when you said the servers didn't realize you had a problem, that's where the front of house guy.
The server should have
been telling the servers, hey, wait a minute.
We got 3 fucking cooks on a line that needs 5 on a Saturday
One veggie omelet, no cheese, no tomato.
What?
Yeah. It goes out the first time. Shut up, Frank. Hold on.
Okay, veggie, not vegan. Okay.
No, it's a veggie omelet.
How the hell do you make a veggie omelet?
That's actually possible. Veggie omelet, no cheese, no tomato. Got it.
Yeah.
First time it goes out, has cheese. Second time it goes out.
So scrambled eggs.
Second time it goes out, it has cheese, but it doesn't have tomato. Third time it goes out, it's undercooked. So now the guy that was cooking all the breakfast items on the dinner tickets says, I'm done. I broke the mic stand. No, there we go. Says, I'm done, and gives the grill to me. So I start making the omelet. The omelet to be all omelets. The omelet to end the night. And this is where it happens. It happens. Where's my omelet? I'm mixing it right now. All right, when is it going to be out? Like maybe 10 minutes?
If that.
All right, they've been waiting like an hour. Well, you said it was undercooked. Well, that was after 2 mismakes. I understand if they want their omelet, they can wait. And I'm spilling it on the grill. How long on that omelet? Like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Because 5 seconds later. So where's that omelet?
I told you 3 fucking minutes.
I told you 3 fucking minutes. That's actually exactly what I said. Pointing my face towards that wall, which is nothing. There's nobody there. And she said, you don't have to yell. And I turned around and said, you've asked 5 times in 15 seconds where your omelet was. And I told you it's coming. Calm down.
Now, here's the funny thing.
You said the problem was it was undercooked. I'm making sure it's cooked. Well, this is the 4th remake of it. I looked at her. I said, I don't care.
Hold on.
That was the end of the night. Then Pete got the talking to, like, what did you say to her? I said, she said it was undercooked. When I got on the grill, the complaint was the omelet was undercooked. I cooked it to spec, cooked all the way through. No complaint came back after that.
did that table walk out? My question to the supervisor. No. I'm like, well, what's the problem? She didn't understand the concept of cooking an omelet in less than a minute.
Yeah.
See, now here's the funny thing. You've heard me talk about when I go to Milwaukee all the time, there's a restaurant right across the street.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to give them some plugs here because they do an outstanding job. It's called Two Brothers. It's on Electric Street in Milwaukee if you want to go. He's only open until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday through Thursday.
Sponsor!
But anyway, it's a little family-owned deal. The dad runs the place. The wife helps out sometimes. And then
the kids are like the kids.
No, well, yeah. The kids are there. And then they have two, maybe three servers out front at all times.
Yeah.
One cook.
Yep.
And then occasionally the owner will run back there if they get slammed.
Yeah.
And help
what do you
out
need down? I need this down. I need this down. And he's looking at tickets. He's fucking frantic. Yep.
At no exactly. time. And they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe about 10 booths and about four tables. Yeah. 4 to 6 tables. So it's not a big place.
No. And one cook handles it all.
And I've gone in there a lot.
Yeah.
Never once have I waited. Now, most of the time when I go in there, I order breakfast. I order a ham and cheese omelet, hash browns, you know.
The military simple, breakfast.
Right.
Ham and cheese omelet and potato.
Right.
Give me my potato, man.
Never once have I waited more than
20 minutes?
10 minutes, honestly, yeah. for my food. Even when I've ordered a burger.
It's a simple goddamn order. It really is. Ham and cheese omelet and hash browns. That really shouldn't take more than 10 minutes. That's right. The hash browns cooking. That's what that is.
Right.
And they're fresh, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Every time, yeah.
Yeah, never once have I waited more. Never. I don't care how busy that place has been.
Yeah.
And I've gone in there everywhere from 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm the first one in there, and I get my food like
it's
that.
It's one cook.
To
it's one cook. That's what a flat top can do, man.
Right. But a lot of times I'll call in, too, ahead of time.
There might be a time that his omelet is slightly with just a little bit of clear egg in it, just that little bit. And you know what I say? That's actually how an omelet is supposed to be in France. Well, that's where the word came from.
That's the thing, too.
Soft egg.
Is never once in this place.
Whoops.
Never once have I sent anything back in this place. And you guys know me. I'm pretty picky on my food sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Not on everything, but sometimes.
Well, it depends on if I've had it before. I know what a ham and cheese omelet is supposed to look like.
And taste like, yeah.
Right. Never once have I... usually, I get either a ham and cheese omelet or in the afternoon, sometimes I'll get what's called a Wisconsin burger.
By the way, if you're at home and you're wondering what does a ham and cheese omelet taste like, it tastes like butter, cheese and pig.
Uh-huh.
That's what the tastes are that you should get in your mouth. Butter, and cheese, they do, pig. If they didn't do that, they didn't do it right.
And they do the nice, airy, fluffy omelets. So it's about that damn thick when I get
that's it. That's badass omelet. That's badass.
Two, three eggs.
That's
three
a badass eggs. Fucking
for
omelet.
For those that, you know, obviously because this is radio, it's about an inch to an inch and a half thick, and it covers up about half the plate, and that's three eggs and some ham.
I'm all right.
You know, so that's got a lot of fluffiness to that damn omelet. Never once have I sent a place or sent an order back. Now, what Pete's talking about here is imagine.
Oh, we don't have a shot glass.
You did.
You want one?
Get upstairs to clean it.
What? No, I don't do hard liquor. You know that.
Do you want to try just a sip?
No.
I mean, a sip that big.
No.
Not once?
No.
Not, that's fine. That's cool.
All right.
That's
I'm 41 cool. damn years old. I know what I like. They're trying to give me
Tennessee honey
whiskey.
This is what I mean by, like,
I know.
Our shot when
I No, I do not like the taste of hard liquor whatsoever. I drink beer. Every once in a great damn while, I might drink a rum and coke, but even that, I don't like all that much.
See, rum is the secret formula to greatness.
Apparently.
I just...
Castro knew it.
I love fucking rum.
Right.
Don't fuck rum.
But,
just drink
but the straight shots that you guys are doing there,
It's Tennessee honey. It tastes completely
different.
I specifically
picked this whiskey because I
drink it straight.
Yeah.
And he can too. He does not have a stomach for whiskey at all.
Yeah.
Or straight liquor at all, really.
Certain ones I can stomach.
You can't do Jack.
No. I don't like...
You can't do rum.
Nope.
You can't do well vodka.
Yeah, certain... Yeah.
Right.
High-end vodka you can do a straight shot of.
Yeah, right. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm not even a big fan of mixed drinks whatsoever. You know, beer. That's beer.
That's fine.
I'm a straight beer guy.
That's about cool. Queer beer?
I don't like champagne. I don't like wine.
Wait. Well, no, that's not wrong either. As long as you like, see, this is what we've always been about. We've always wanted to introduce you to different types of beer.
Well, beer is fine.
And different flavors. You've always been like, Miller Lite's fine. We're like, Frank, try something. Well, or Bud Light's fine. Try something else.
Well, we've done that before.
America's great, but we can improve beer. Right. America can improve beer.
We've done that before, and I've told you, as long as it's not an IPA, I don't really care.
Yeah, that is the one thing that that all three of us have fucked that shit.
No IPAs and no shandies. I don't like shandies either.
I'm against IPAs and shandies.
The two of you are against shandies. I'm the one that's like,
In the summertime, you're okay with it. I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Anyway.
I don't want to lemonade my fucking beer. Yeah.
You know what? If we're ever outside in the hot sunlight and I drink a shandy and I enjoy it, that's where a shandy is supposed to be.
That's literally
even
the only
sun is on my face.
That's the only time.
And we're drifting down a river, and it's just that perfect time of year. A shandy makes sense.
Yeah, that's actually the only time I'll drink.
But
a shandy.
Other 355 days of the year, it doesn't make sense.
No water, grain, hops, yeast.
Well,
that's it.
Well, some of them have more than that. Even the beers that we might show you.
Well, that's why I said grain. You know, instead of just saying specifically wheat.
Well, like, if we ever showed you, like, Oktoberfest from Bent River and you liked it, it'd have more than that.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but that's why I'm saying there's that 10 days that shandy makes sense, and then it doesn't anymore.
Shandy never makes sense.
It does. The one time that I've liked shandy...
I'm shaking my head, my hair is flapping.
I'm the middle ground on this, saying there's 10 days out of 365... That makes sense for shandy.
I actually totally agree with you on this.
Is it slightly cloudy out? Yes. Drink a shandy. Don't drink a shandy.
I actually agree with that. Yeah.
Never. Ever.
What about, hey, Frank?
Never.
Corona?
Nasty.
On a hot day?
Nasty.
Like, you're not doing anything at all that day.
I don't like,
hot as shit a lime, ice cold.
I don't like Corona. I've never liked Corona.
All right. So he's a dark beer enthusiast. That we just found that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably more like lagers, ales.
Lagers
stuff like
and
that.
Darker.
Yeah.
He's a dark beer enthusiast. So Guinness. You like Guinness?
I'm trying to think if I've ever really had it.
All right. There we go. So we need to have him try Guinness.
We'll start him on the McDonald's of the.
Hey, let's not be mean to Guinness.
I would actually say Pilsner's lagers, ales.
Because he does like PBR too.
Yeah.
That's the spectrum we're dealing with.
Well,
that's what I hear.
Miller Lite right now is a Pilsner.
So you actually like hoppy.
I like hoppy, but I don't like hoppy.
We can work off the hoppy spectrum and find beers that Frank will like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind hops. I just don't.
He might actually like Shiner Black. It's very hoppy.
You might actually,
As long as it's not IPA hoppy.
Oh, no.
He drinks Shiner Black.
Yeah. I drink Shiner Black and I hate IPA.
All right, then I'd probably be fine with it. Like I said, you know.
I hate IPA like Hitler hated Jews. And I drink Shiner Black.
Right.
Yeah, I just compared myself to Hitler. Take note at home.
Well, the Hitler really hate the Jews, though.
Anyway, about my work.
See, you're going to drag in old conversations I've had with one of my friends, Alan.
So, after that Saturday where we had a one-hour ticket time, which was abysmal.
Hate is such a strong word.
It was abysmal.
Anyway.
It was abysmal.
I agree.
That Tuesday, me and Sean, that you know, got together, and between my experience and his experience, we worked out a system that we wanted to try. The next night.
Yeah.
And we tried it the next night. And for the first hour, it worked seamlessly. We had a 5-minute ticket time on everything.
Oh, burgers, we're back to the restaurant now, by the
burgers,
way.
Burgers, yeah. Steaks, everything.
Now, how do you cook a good... Hold on. Because I've wondered about this. How in the hell do you cook a good steak in 5 minutes on a flat top?
Crank the heat up.
First off, there's...
Well, no, you can't do that because then you get medium rare.
On any good flat top, there should be three settings. There should be warm, hot, and oh my God, my hand.
Right.
You put the steak, when they say medium rare, you put the steak on that side, the oh my God, my hand
side. Yeah, because you sear the outside and you don't cook the middle.
For 1 minute with a little bit of butter, just the tiniest bit of butter, flip it into the tiniest bit of fat and butter.
Right.
On the grill, mark, 2-3 minutes, medium rare.
Right. See, because that's why my steaks always take the longest. I always want medium well. I want it cooked basically all the way through, but still juicy.
Medium well takes about 7-8 minutes on average.
Right. Because
I'm a medium
because
rare
you have to put that on, you know,
when they're using a flat top sear, it takes 7 to 8 minutes on average if they're pressing it. If they're not pressing it, it should take 15 minutes.
If you're pressing a steak, you're evil.
Well, the quality of steak I'm dealing with is not the highest to begin with, so
you should never,
it doesn't matter to begin with.
You should never press a steak. You should never press a burger.
For steak and eggs, you can press a steak.
Well, that's different. I'm talking about like you're actually having a steak dinner, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, so, right. Like, yeah, we're talking about burger. They say medium well. You're talking about a 7-minute turnaround total. The longest part of that is actually the burger, which is literally 7 minutes.
Because believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, the more done you want your steak or your burger, the colder they have to cook it.
And the reason I say we were running a 5-minute average ticket time is some of the tickets that came through were Ross Burgers. Yeah, I named the business. I don't give a shit anymore.
All right.
They
don't listen anyway.
They really won't. They don't even know what I do this. It's literally meat in a bin.
So we won't give him a Radio Food Bar shirt to wear to work.
It's meat in a bin, and they top it, and they put it in a bun, and they put it in the window.
You
there you go. There's
right?
Your Ross Burger.
Yeah, it's like a made right.
He knows what a made right. I told him about this, but that's the point.
It's a loose meat sandwich, everybody.
It's a loose meat sandwich.
Have you ever seen Roseanne?
No.
Fucking sandwiches they make at the lunchbox.
Hold on. No. They got a big-ass fucking probably 10-gallon fucking pan.
It's more like 16 pounds at a time.
But it's about 2 foot tall and probably.
We put some seasoning in there, we cook it, and then it's there.
They take about 15 pounds of hamburger, they throw it in the sink, they cook it down until it doesn't look like hamburger anymore.
Yeah.
And then they throw some seasoning, they have this big pot just simmering all day.
Yep, pretty much. And it's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
think crock pot chili without the beans. And then without the extra water.
Tomatoes.
It's really fucking good.
For them at home.
Right.
I've had Ross Burgers. I love them.
Yeah. Right. You eat the burger in the bun, and then you scoop the rest up with a spoon. It's a loose meat sandwich. It's really fucking good.
But it's not something that you have to make every time.
So,
it's literally ready. You take an ice cream scooper and go.
Discounting the Ross Burgers, we're running a 10-minute ticket time. Still.
Not hateful.
Still actually admirable. In a busy restaurant on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
But we're running that on Wednesday. In comes my general manager.
On a Saturday night, I'm willing to wait a half hour for my food.
Yeah.
Especially if the place is busy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to look around. I'm going to say, yeah, they're kind of busy. It's going to be a little while for my food.
In comes the general manager that saw us running this system where Pete, is running the broiler and a flat top.
Now, remember what I said at the beginning. The general manager should not be talking to the cooks at all.
Period.
The general manager,
unless there is a definite problem,
right? The general manager for those that have never rented a restaurant,
generally you manage.
The general manager has two concerns.
The general manager generally manages. He monitors the numbers and the front of house, and he's done.
The general manager has two concerns: ticket time and food safety.
Basically,
that's about it. Well, ticket time, profit margin, there's a lot more that goes into it, but he should not be involved with the kitchen.
And honestly, the general manager shouldn't even really worry about ticket time. That's the front of house manager's job.
Yeah, kind of, but still in his wheelhouse. But so we'll give it to him. We'll give him a gimme. But yeah.
The general manager is really there to run the books. Are they wasting food? Are they, you know, how many?
What's our food cost? What's our ticket to actually profit
they
income?
Should not,
what's
the
our,
general manager should not be in the kitchen micromanaging.
How's
the
our TPA doing? How's our all this other shit doing? What's the schedule look like? What's our labor look like? They should not be involved in the kitchen. General manager.
The general manager is supposed to manage the other managers.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
So generally, you manage. There you go. So the general manager walks on the line with the system that me and the most experienced cook on staff have created to run the night.
Yeah.
That is working completely seamless, completely flawless.
Like you has said, a problem with it. 5 to 10 minute ticket times.
Yeah.
Has a problem with it.
What was your problem?
The problem was they didn't want to run one grill, which is the broiler grill and grill, the flat top and flat top, the broiler flat top and flat top. They wanted to run two different grills, broiler flat top and fry. Okay, well, we're knee deep in this system. Can we try it for the rest of the night? No, I've told you guys this is the problem. They weren't there Saturday night, by the way. They weren't there that Saturday night, by the way.
I gotcha.
This is on Wednesday when we're trying this out during the dinner rush to see if this can work, which is two guys cooking all the food and one guy plating it. And so far, it has worked perfectly.
You mean like they do it in every other restaurant? I have watched Gordon Ramsay
be the plater?
Yeah.
With everybody else cooking the food?
Yeah.
Like every other restaurant in the goddamn country runs. There's two guys flipping the shit out of everything on the grills. Samuraiing the fuck out of that grill.
I've watched Hell's Kitchen.
And you know what? I don't have anything on the broiler in my flat top. I look over to the other guy on the grill and said, what do you need on? I need hash browns on. I got room for that. I drop hash browns on my grill. And then somebody calls, I need a burger on. Got a burger on. Because I still have room on my grill for that burger. We're running this system so efficiently with communication, teamwork.
Exactly what fucking...
One guy reading the tickets and communicating that to the both grills and fry, and it's just working perfectly. And it only takes one person with some slight authority to come in and insist we should just fuck that all up.
Mm-hmm. That is... I have watched...
So Gordon the solution was to take me off the broiler and flat top and switch me out with that person that was calling tickets in the middle of calling tickets. I didn't know what was called to who. I didn't know what was down and what was not. Where's the problem already?
You don't know what's cooking right now.
In the middle of hell.
It's one of those ones. Let me finish
up. Where we are managing hell perfectly efficiently. Someone comes in and says, this is wrong. You should do it the old way. Right.
Now here's the biggest problem that he hasn't got to yet, Matt. They have a kitchen manager that actually kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I'm saying kind of knows. He has
kind of knows what he's doing. You're 100%
accurate. He kind of knows what he's doing, and he has an idea of how things should work.
He's been scholastically trained in this.
Right.
Yeah. He's gone to school for this. He knows better than I do the numbers behind all this, and I know the numbers. He knows better than me. I'm admitting that.
And here's the thing. He kind of agrees with Pete in the way he wants to do things. The problem is you have a general manager telling this kitchen manager.
No fucking idea.
Well, I don't know that. But anyway, the kitchen manager needs to grow a pair.
Yeah, and tell him to go out.
He doesn't have a pair. He can't grow a pair. He can't. He's immune.
Well, he needs a sprout, a pair at least. Okay.
So they switch me and create, pardon me, they create hell by this because I don't know what buns are down. I don't know what burgers are down. I don't know what omelets, hash browns, anything are down. I'm reading the first four tickets out of 10, and she comes up again and says, all right, so do you have this ticket down? And points to the seventh ticket in line. I'm like, well, they don't have room on their grill for that item. But did they have the hash browns down? Yes. We actually have 20 orders of hash browns down. We only have 18 on the ticket. We predicted two more on the next ticket. Oh, okay. And then wanders further down the line. I'm like, this is a problem. They kept going down the line. We had this, even in the midst of hell, we had this under control. Let's fuck this up more. So she turns to my broiler cook that was the ticket cook, the prep, the plate cook. I need three buns on. I have three. Well, I need three more. Oh my God, you don't.
No. Have you seen?
Oh the my God, I already had three on. You don't need three more on.
Have you seen the problem yet, Matt?
It's someone who doesn't know what the fuck's going on saying, oh, there's a problem and I need to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what's going on.
I feel there is a problem, therefore I must fix it.
Right.
Yeah.
But the problem was, is that the general manager shouldn't have gone
been there
to fix
in the
it
first
himself.
Fucking place.
You actually have a cook on the line, on that line in particular, that has 12 years of experience. You have another cook that has 4 years of supervisor and management experience. You have another cook that has like 8 to 10 years mm-hmm. in supervisor, manager, and cooking experience. Right.
And you decide you
want
to
have one newer cook that is responding to everything that he is told.
The general manager should have, at that point, went up and talked to whoever was in charge of the kitchen at the time.
And said, explain to me why this is the reason you're doing this.
Exactly.
And the kitchen manager goes, well, they came
no,
to me.
No, not even that. He can come and talk to us.
Yeah.
Say they don't like this. And then we would say, well, we can't switch it right now in the middle of a dinner rush.
We will switch
Give us 40 minutes, and we will switch it back to the old way.
When we clear the fucking rack.
Once we clear the tickets, right. We will switch back to the old, I promise, right. And we will never do it again. I'm so sorry. Right. We tried something new. We're idiots for doing something right.
But even then, the general manager shouldn't have been there talking to individual cooks.
Right.
Trying to fix things like that. They should have talked to the kitchen manager, and the kitchen manager should have implemented the changes.
Yeah.
So I'm standing right here where I'm sitting, right? Technically. Yeah. And here's where the plating line is.
Right in front of them is where the cutting
boards, and then a little bit before that is where the bins are of the meat and cheese and gravy. You know what I'm talking about.
Because the vast majority of our listeners don't know what you're talking about when you're talking about plating.
Plating is, here's something that is cooked. It needs to be put in the window that a server can take it to mm-hmm. the table.
The plater is the last guy to see the food before it goes out to the table.
Basically, literally. He's quality control.
Now, in the higher end restaurants, a plater is there purely for quality inspection. He's there to say that doesn't have enough arugula on the top of it. It doesn't have enough. It doesn't have enough of the fresh salad on top of it. It doesn't have that. In lower or mid-tier restaurants, a plater is there to actually finish the plate, which is a guy hands the guy the burger with the onion, mm-hmm. ketchup, and lettuce on it, and he puts the fries on it, make sure the fries look in order, the burger looks in order, that it's cooked the proper way, puts it in the window and says,
Diane, your ticket's ready.
That's a plater.
Right. Yeah.
That's what we ran. They've never had a plater before.
All right.
They've never run a plater before. That's what Sean actually came up with. We need to run a plater. The cooks turn around and hand you a nearly finished item, and you finish it.
And then you...
So you get the mountain sub gravy with onions. He puts the gravy on and the onions mm-hmm. and puts it in the window. The toast, the meat, and everything else is there. He just puts the gravy on the onions and puts it in the window.
Wait, how in the hell do they do that without a plater?
They
That doesn't make sense to me.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense. The system they're running doesn't make sense. Is that each station is responsible for a ticket that has only its station on it. It doesn't make any sense, Frank. The system they're running does not make any sense.
Granted, I've never worked in... Well, let me rephrase.
Now,
I've never worked. The only time I've ever worked in a full service restaurant, I worked at.
It doesn't matter. You were a former sergeant in the Marine Corps, and you're like,
hold on,
wait. It feels like I'm stepping on my guy's toes with this.
I worked at Rudy's Tacos in East Moline, up by Sammy G's, for 3 days.
Hipso, Rock Island. Hipso.
All right, I worked there for 3 days as a dishwasher.
And you saw those guys run a station.
Right.
And when there was one guy in the middle that made sure all the tickets were in line. And exactly. He wasn't even the kitchen manager or AKM. Right. He wasn't nothing. He was a cook.
Right.
His job was to make sure that everything in the window matched the ticket and said, go.
Right. And really, my whole job was that after somebody was done eating, I would go up to the table, put it in a bin, take it in the back.
Yeah.
And wash the stuff. I had a big machine that I actually ran the things through, so I didn't have to do a lot of.
Well, yeah, I've washed dishes before, so
I did that
at a restaurant
3 days until I got fired. I couldn't work Friday and Saturday night because I had shit going on at school. So
yeah. They told you to go fuck off, well, I guess I'll go fuck
you
off.
You were in band. That's Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
Much.
Well, band and then sports, you know.
Yeah. Yep. I guess I'm fucking off then.
Yeah. Well,
I'm like, you hired me knowing this.
I worked at Rudy's for 3 weeks, by the way.
Okay, so you didn't last much longer.
No. Well, I was actually the line cook in that, too.
Oh, okay.
They hired me as line cook. Well, I mean.
No, I'm not saying anything, because anyway. Rudy's food is, I like Rudy's food. It's greasy as fuck, and you don't want to know.
It's not Mexican food.
No.
It's not Mexican food.
And you
food.
Do not.
It's the best, worst Mexican
exactly.
food ever. You can ever have in your life. You should try it once.
That's the problem with me working at Rudy's, is that I now know. What goes in the food?
I got something covered in cheese. Is it a burrito? No, it's an enchilada.
Let me put it this way. In those three...
I got something covered in enchilada sauce. What is it? It's a burrito.
It's a burrito. Right.
Doesn't make any fucking sense.
In just 3 days of working there, Pete'll know what I'm talking about. 5 gallon buckets of lard.
Yep. They got rid of that by my time, but the buckets were still in the freezer.
Okay. So
just
you know.
In case for the beans. The beans, right?
Not just going
in. Oh, you used it in the meat, too, didn't
yes.
you?
Not Yo, just going in.
They got rid of it in the meat in my time. It right. was the beans in
not
my time.
Just going in, but going out, too, because they had a drainage system on the grill for all of the lard that they would add to this shit, and it would drain off to the side and back to the back corner and then drain into this 5 gallon bucket.
That's why that shit's so good. Dude, yeah.
No offense to you, Matt. You worked in a pizza place.
Yeah, pizza joints are slick.
As a kitchen manager, the shit that comes out of the byproducts of everything you order are 20 times more disgusting than you can possibly imagine. The cost, the shit that comes off of a flat top from cooking your burger on the flat top mm-hmm. is frankly revolting. That's classic Saturday Night Live.
Our next comic had a lot of problems until he appeared on Dr. Katz. You know him. He's all better now. Let's bring him out. Jim Gaffigan, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it.
What is this talking?
That was Louis Anderson.
Oh, okay.
You're going to know this bit. Tortilla with cheese, meat, and potatoes. Or vegetables.
Louis Anderson, do you love him?
Hi.
What a good man. Good to see some people here with glasses. I just got some new glasses, you know. People always trust people with glasses. You ever notice that? It's always like, well, that's that guy. He's got glasses. But if you're wearing your glasses like this,
I'm going to see if I can find
them. Get away from him, he's in document. People always want to try my glasses on. I got your respirator. It's a cute joke.
I'm skipping through. He's trying to find the bit that I'm talking about.
I'm out of town, so I'm not going to write any postcards. We like sunshine.
Hold on. I'm trying to find a bit. Hold on.
He's trying to find
sounds
a
like an insult to me.
I'm trying to
sounds
find
like
a
the man
here.
If he was introduced to the ocean. To get yourself an education. I was hanging around my neighborhood recently, and talking to these this guy. People, okay, yeah. This is kind of a weird question. You haven't been drinking gravy, have you? Because you're like 80% meat byproduct. Yeah, we're going to have to register
like
you with
that.
The government. I love Mexican food.
I don't like gravy.
I eat a lot of Mexican food.
Oh, okay, here we go. I found it. It looks like Pete's trying to talk me into taking a little baby shot of...
Literally have to skim the top.
All right.
That much.
What is this now?
It's Jack Daniel's honey.
Jack Daniel's honey. Tennessee. And there's maybe a quarter of an inch in here.
There's not even a fifth of a shot in there.
Just I like the smell.
Skim the top.
There's a lot of honey in there.
Yeah, that's why I said I like this. This is a whiskey I can drink straight.
All right, so this isn't even a fifth of a shot.
Yeah,
it's not even a tenth.
Yeah, this would be like what you would put if you were.
Yeah, I put dribbles in there.
Yeah,
dribbles.
I could fill the rest of the shot glass up with Coke and have about the right proportion of a shot of rum and Coke.
Yeah,
so that's how little.
Skim the top if you want.
Right. I like the smell.
It's a very good smell. It's a very good taste.
Yeah.
All right, he's done.
All right, that's fine. That's fine.
You got him to try.
That's fine.
Say it on the radio.
We got him to try it. It's fine.
Like it.
That's cool. That's fine.
Yeah.
Me and Matt get schnockered. This is what we.
This is what we drink. Yeah.
Oh, I can feel the burn. Ugh.
You can feel the burn?
Yeah.
Wow.
On Tennessee honey.
Wow.
Yes. Not as bad as regular Jack or something like that.
Oh no!
No, I don't drink regular Jack.
But then again, like I said, it's just because of I have an innate bias towards hard liquor in the first place.
That's fine.
So that's probably part of it too.
Yeah.
I can still taste it. It's getting worse.
Yeah.
That's got a hell of an aftertaste.
It does. It's got the Jack Daniel aftertaste.
Actually, no. I'm tasting the honey. It almost tastes like rancid honey. Would I choose it? No. But
yeah,
that does. Okay, it's finally starting to go away.
It takes a minute.
It takes a minute.
It takes a minute. Yeah.
But I mean, it smells like honey, but it doesn't smell like honey. Honey.
Yeah,
it smells
honey
like honey. Right. But I mean, you really can't smell the honey, and you really can't taste the whiskey.
Yeah. That's,
but it
that's
doesn't.
What you're saying, Frank, is it's not that bad.
If I had to rate it, I would rate it probably just slightly above Moon Man, but not by much.
That's fine.
Well, yeah, but that is a hard liquor versus an IPA,
right?
So.
But just barely. I mean, I
see. This is what Davian actually asked us about.
Every
like,
time,
no
I,
Tennessee honey, you're good. You're good. Drink
every
Tennessee.
I
honey.
Remember this conversation. He's like, "Is Tennessee honey a good whiskey?"
He kicked booze
every
by
time.
The way. Davian, if by chance you're listening, I admire your stance. You're kicking booze for the rest of the year. That's actually a good decision according to everything that I've read, drank a lot. Good for you.
Yeah.
Care for the rest of the year and then come back to us.
Yeah. He said he's lost 3 stones.
Wow.
That's about 20 pounds for reference, by the way. He's lost 60 pounds kicking booze for a month.
How much booze was he drinking?
A lot.
It's
booze has a different like economy in England, man.
It's the Chris Evans response. No,
that's why
Chris
he was
Evans.
Asking
was,
us about Tennessee honey. That was his treat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
What was it? Who's the guy who played? Anyway. It was in Parks and Rec that played Star-Lord. I can't
hold
remember.
Hold on. Like I said, for everybody.
Christopher Pratt. He's like, how much booze, how much beer were you drinking?
Yeah, I just cut out beer. How much beer were you drinking?
For everybody listening, by the way, if you're thinking about Tennessee honey whiskey, don't take my review on it because I do not like hard
liquor. Actually, you know what? Listen to what he said after he initially took the shot, which is like, wow, you can taste the honey. You can taste a little bit of the Jack.
Right, but the honey actually tastes rancid to me. That's the thing.
Well, well, that's when it's missile liquor. But,
right.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, though, is because of my innate bias and dislike of hard liquor, don't take my review of it.
Yeah.
You know, Matt and Pete have been drinking.
We're hard liquor kings, man.
Yeah. I mean, you've drank. What, 3/4 of that bottle already? Yeah.
Not even. No, more.
Yeah.
We're down to like 2 shots
and
each.
They got a fit. Yeah. That's a 750 bottle, isn't it?
It's a liter bottle.
Yeah, 750 milliliters. Yeah, that's a fifth.
Yeah, and you've killed about 3/4 of it, maybe a little more. In
I would probably say about 5/6.
We actually have been taking it easy. We've been drinking Frank's beer because we were running out of booze. Right.
But what I mean is, you know, because I inherently dislike... I hate hard liquor more than I hate IPA.
Wow.
No, I understand that. I really do. There are some people that can only drink beer.
Yeah, and I'm one of those people.
And those are the people that might get hangovers from beer, and I feel sorry for them.
I actually don't usually get too severe of hangovers.
If I drink straight beer all night, I'm guaranteed to get the hell out of
I have
hangover.
The worst the fucking worst hangover.
I guess it depends on what
that's
you're
that's why to. I force him to take one shot of vodka for the night. Even if I don't monitor the rest of his drinks, I make him take one shot of vodka
but
just to watch.
Right.
Is that part of the reason why?
It's a cleansing ritual.
Oh, wow.
But then
you thought I was punishing you?
Yeah.
But then, remember when I told you
deserve this?
But then again, Pete,
it's you deserve
spent...
no hangover, man.
I got you. But then now again, I get it. Now
I've always loved you as a brother. Fuck you.
Right, hold on.
I never understood.
Why would I punish you for being my friend?
But you also have to remember that I've spent more than half of my life only drinking beer.
I got you, man.
I'm 41 years old. I've been drinking since I was 18. Oh. I mean, drinking consistently.
So conclusion of the story is that we tried to actually make a system. The system fell apart from management.
Yeah.
From management.
Right.
It was fell upon by management.
So what you're saying is that if Gordon Ramsay goes
and halfway through, I smarted off my smart mouth.
I'm actually kind of curious as to what would happen if
I told Frank about this. That person's fat body, and I'm saying that as me, a big guy, their fat body and Buddy and Sean were blocking my way to the broiler. And they turned to me and said, I need a burger on. Can you get a burger on? Right. And I turned to them and said, why don't you have the person that's on the broiler put the burger on? I ask you to do something, just do it. And I went, as the authoritarian left, oh, fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you.
For those that don't know.
You put that person on that position and you didn't ask them to do it? Screw you in particular, sir.
Yeah, for those that don't know that are listening, a commercial kitchen broiler cooks is basically an oven that cooks from the wrong side.
No, it's actually just a grill, a flame broiling grill.
Oh, is that what they do there?
Okay. The broiler is actually the thing with flames underneath and an iron grating over the top.
Okay.
The thing you're talking about is a salamander.
Okay.
That's actually the term for it. It cooks from the top onto an iron grate.
Right.
That's a salamander.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, so if you've ever had a grilled burger, you've had a broiled burger.
Right.
Welcome to Burger King.
Yeah, we're going to have to register you with the government. I have a friend, you could become kosher. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't eat gravy. I eat a lot of Mexican food, though. I love Mexican food. Yeah, isn't it the best? I used to be a waiter in a Mexican restaurant, which is kind of silly because I am Dominican, you know. I love Mexican food. It's actually all the same.
That's Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan, ladies and gentlemen, is probably the whitest guy you'll ever see.
If you didn't know, he's pale. That was actually one of the...
His name of his special... One time on
Felicia
Beyond
Day, Pale.
It was Beyond the Pale.
Felicia Day is less pale than Jim Gaffigan.
Is the whitest person you know, right. And you didn't even know him.
Yeah. Christ, he wasn't on the whitest kids you know.
Think wind-driven white.
And for reference, Dominican people are usually of a darker complexion. There we go. There's the joke. There's the joke, ladies and gentlemen.
Think wind-driven fresh snow.
Yeah. And, like... Platinum fucking blonde, too.
The yellowest golden blonde you've ever seen.
Your typical Scandinavian.
Yeah.
But with the whiter. Name Gaffigan, which is Irish, so he's really, really, really pale.
Ingredients, but as a waiter, you'd have to deal with those stupid questions. You know, people would be like, hey, what's nachos? Nachos? That's tortilla with cheese, meat, or vegetables. What's a burrito? Tortilla with cheese, meat, or vegetables. What's a tostada? Tortilla with cheese, meat, or vegetables. What's a taco? Is this that hard to follow? It's all the same. Mexican food is all the same. It's almost like 100 years ago, some guy stood up in Mexico.
Hold on, Pete's off the headphones for a second. So I'm going That's all right. He's just getting more beer. Are we going to kill off this whole 18?
That was the plan.
This is our 6-year anniversary.
Yeah, that's true. We'll talk about that here.
It is. Crazy part. I still remember the first moment I saw you, but we'll talk about
Jim Gaffigan first.
Yep.
What's a taco? Is this that hard to follow? It's all the same. Mexican food is all the same. It's almost like 100 years ago, some guy stood up in Mexico and was like, look, everyone, we don't have that many things here. maybe a couple pyramids the Incas left us. But what we do have is one terrific entree. Now, I say we rename it 7 times and sell it to the gringos. Who's in on it? And that one guy in the back stood up and he goes, well, wouldn't that be dishonest? Well, if you keep your mouth shut, we'll name one of the entrees after you. What's your name? My name's Chimichanga. And then at the end of the meeting, this annoying guy came in. He says, name something after me. What's your name? My name's Flan. Well, if we come up with a disgusting dessert that tastes like burnt mayonnaise, we'll name it Flan. But you may have to move to Cuba for that. That is all for me. Thank you very much.
As a cook, I must say, the Mexicans have more to offer than the tortilla.
Yeah.
Right. Really, no, what he's actually saying in this bit is
the Taco Bell, yeah.
Like if you go to Taco Bell,
cheese and vegetables.
It's basically like, you know, everything you order from Taco Bell is the same damn thing, just arranged a little bit differently.
Arranged differently and the tortilla's fried.
That's why I just get the taco. Or the burrito. I don't ever had never anything more than that. Wrap it up and sell it to me.
Yeah, so I didn't learn this until today, ladies and gentlemen, but supposedly this is the 6th anniversary of Pete and Matt meeting
for the first
one
time.
Day late.
I'm guessing that it happened something like this. Now let's see if this happened here. Matt's in the bar, half drunk already.
Just let him go.
I'm just seeing.
Well, tell him he's wrong afterwards.
Right. Yeah. Matt's in the bar already, probably at least half drunk.
Okay.
Probably in the back somewhere.
All right.
Partially right. Partially right. Well, no, I wasn't even drinking yet then.
Just calm down and let him finish.
Pete walks in the front door with maybe a couple of friends. All of a sudden he hears, "Hey! Give me another drink!"
Nope.
"I can't hit the dartboard yet!" And Pete's like, "Ooh, somebody's drunk. I have to get in on this fun." And that's it.
No.
Nope.
Not even close.
You didn't hear him. Even close.
Okay, you didn't hear him from the other end.
All right, let me rephrase. You are right on one aspect. I did hear Matt from across the distance of a room. But this is how it went. I was at work. And a certain mutual friend of ours said, "Do you want to go to a Halloween party?" And I said, "Would there be booze there?" And he said,
"Cody?
No."
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And he said, "No, but there will be girls there." "How many?" "At least 2. "How many guys?" This was 40. The negotiation. "At least 5. I'm okay with that ratio as long as we get to drink, hang out, and have a good time. Mm. It's Halloween. Who gives a shit? I'm just, what am I doing otherwise? Nate, I'm going home and I'm playing video games. Yeah, I don't give a shit."
2.5 to 1, that's not a bad ratio.
I walk out into the parking lot, and I will never forget the first moments that I saw this fat, hairy piece of shit.
That Halloween costume was the best
idea
ever.
Lincoln? The Lincoln?
Yeah. Yeah.
The brown Lincoln?
Nope. Blue. Wait, dark blue.
Was this,
blue.
Was this
dark
down
blue.
In the district?
No, this was at AT&T.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We walked out the doors, and he comes up with this, like, spray-painted orange welder's shirt and a traffic cone on his head. And he goes, "I'm a traffic cone." Little did I know, at that exact moment in time, that would be my best friend a year from that day.
"I'm a traffic cone."
Oh, dude.
Because the rest of the night was me and Matt hitting on the same chick.
Yep.
And me handing him cigarettes all night long, talking and agreeing on so many points, yet still fighting, technically speaking, over the same chick.
"I can't get over, I'm a traffic cone."
That I can arguably took in the bullet for. It wasn't even the day after that it was clear that I didn't have a chance that she said she needed a sugar daddy, and you're like, "I'm not that guy."
So
and you're like, "Oh my God, Pete Johnson took a bullet." And then like 2 months later we met again. And ever since the poker nights after, we've been friends.
So it wasn't even
and
one of those.
And then eventually best friends.
So it wasn't even one of those where Matt had to hit on the friend in order to free up the
inverse of that situation.
It was the moment of like, this guy's fucking spray painted himself as a fucking traffic cone.
What the fuck is
this guy's pretty cool. We went down to the, what is it, the Battery Park? No, not Battery Park. Bix Park.
Yeah.
See,
at like
to
midnight
me,
and just walked around for a while and talked.
Right. See, because to me, taking the bullet is going to a bar with your friend.
I took that bullet.
Let's
be honest. Come on, man. Right. I took
you
that.
Did.
Are you friends
with her on Facebook?
She's pregnant?
Oh,
she had the baby.
She's done been had.
She right. had the baby.
She's
and
done been had that baby yeah. and okay. been married.
See, because you have a different version of taking a bullet than I do. See, because normally what happens with us.
That one, I took the bullet.
Right. Yeah. To me, taking a bullet would be because most of the time when women go to a bar, they go in packs. There's at least 3 of them.
We didn't go to a bar. We went to a house.
Okay. Well, even then.
We were dealing with 19 and 20-year-olds. Okay. I was only 22. Well, even,
he was 21.
Right. Yeah.
But even then, I mean,
Like 1 year, you were still a month to go into 22.
Yeah.
But even then.
So we were still in that age. We were still house party age.
But even then, women tend to.
It wasn't that weird for us to hang out with a bunch of 17 to 19.
They weren't 17. What the fuck are you saying on the radio?
I'm just saying it wasn't.
Everybody
that weird.
There was above the age of 18.
Right. 18 years. But
I made sure that with Cody walking in, that's actually why I asked. I was like, "How old are you?
But even then, women tend to pack up. There tends to be at least three of them in a group, and you have to kind of call the herd a little bit.
Oh, that was the best part about this night, is that Cody was focused on one POA.
Some skinny little...
That had interest in everything else but him, but me and Matt were kind of competing for the affection of another that had interest in us both. I won that contest and lost it, and happily lost it, because Matt...
I also went into the bathroom and was checking
See, because I'm going to be honest with you.
We both did.
That's what she did. Yeah,
hold on.
I forgot about that.
Wait, no, I didn't make out with her in the bathroom. I made out with her like 2 days later. Right. So we're still clean.
Because you guys have heard me talk about Lisa.
I've never heard her name, but I'm assuming I have.
The mother of my child.
Yes, I have heard you talk about the mother of your daughter.
All right.
Yes.
Not Beth. Lisa.
Yes.
The mother of your beautiful daughter.
Right. This.
Frank brushes it off.
This.
I'm just kidding.
This is how it went down when we first met. Somehow she had gotten on post and was at the E-Club, her and her friend.
Bad sign, but okay.
Me and my friend went into the bar. And we both focused in on the same.
Yeah.
One, not Lisa. Her friend. Well, her friend showed a little bit more interest in my friend. So I said, okay, I'll take the bullet. I started talking to Lisa. She wasn't ugly, obviously, you know. But she wasn't my initial focus.
So that's how I won that, Matt. I didn't make out with her in the bathroom.
Apparently.
I showed more restraint than you. She was like, so what do you want to do? I was like, I don't know. I just wanted to talk for a minute.
Right.
So, I won.
You did win. Right.
That was
if
me.
That was what she
the
was
flip
into.
Side of the bet won that, but it was still a coin toss. But
hey,
if
that was what she was into at that point,
you still dodged a bullet, my friend. Yeah. We both did. But
what I mean is that
I still
did
took
body
it.
Shots off of her.
I took one in the arm, but I didn't die.
No, that was me taking the bullet. I saw that. Okay. She's more into him than me.
Yeah.
So I'll hang out with the friend.
Don't get me wrong. If that was the situation, I would totally take the grenade for the fat friend.
At the time, at the time, you got to remember.
But right now, knowing what we know, would we both take that grenade?
No.
Right.
We would actually advise the other person, there's a grenade right there.
You need
get the fuck out.
You need to leave.
It's got a 20-minute timer. Get the fuck out.
See, I didn't have that
and we
friend.
Go, he didn't have that friend.
No,
there's a grenade right there, Matt.
Right.
Join the military with me. Do it. There's an IED right there, Matt. I believe Pete Johnson. Let's fucking check it. Well,
it really looks like a rock. I'm pretty sure
that's an
ID. Hold on.
It's slightly shiny. I don't give a shit.
This is a situation I ran into. Being a 20-year-old virgin, talking to a good-looking blonde Swede.
I would have fallen
as a Swedish person, I can confirm this. The blonde Swedes are the worst. Because they have that little bit of accent.
A little bit of the accent. Plus, she was actually from Sweden. So
yep, it's
she
worst.
Had the relaxed.
You're done.
She had the relaxed
larynx?
Qualms about sexual.
Oh. Inhibitions?
Inhibitions.
Yeah. She had the European concept when it came to sex.
Oh, yeah. We can screw for the night. Who gives a shit?
Right. She had the Swedish.
Is
you
that
know,
different?
You think? Yeah.
I've never actually met a Swedish woman before.
Swedish women are very, in general.
They are very relaxed about nudity, sexuality, everything.
Nice.
Sweden is a very progressive, I wouldn't say nudist, I would say
exhibitions.
Body liberal.
Exactly.
Body liberal.
If they
country.
Decide that they want to have sex, they're going to have sex. They'll
if
find
you go to
somebody.
The beach with your sister and she goes topless, she just goes topless. Like your sister going to, hey, Andrea, what the fuck are you doing? And in Sweden, they would be like, you're a prude.
Yeah, you need to knock it off.
Yeah,
I guess
you,
fuck me, right?
You need to knock it off.
Yeah.
She has every right to do whatever she
exactly.
wants.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if some chick comes up and says, I want your dick, and you're like, yeah, I want your pussy. Then there you go.
I guess we're going
match,
in the shower.
You're
going
to go fucking.
All right. So here we are.
Slam dirties in the right. shower. That's what's going to happen. Right.
So here we are, 20-year-old American virgin, 25-year-old, relatively experienced Swedish.
Let's get
blonde,
on.
You know, blonde haired, blue eye, you know, your typical Swedish.
Yeah. Let's get it on.
I'm having this picture in my head, and it's like, I don't think I want to.
I don't really want to visualize Frank having sex.
No, just the woman. Right. Just the woman that he's describing in my head. I'm like, I don't, if she said, hey,
yeah,
I want to talk to you, I'd be like,
no,
yeah.
She's Swedish, so you can visualize a few things. One, she has blonde hair. Two, she has relatively small tits. Three, she has an amazing ass. And four, slightly stubby legs, but they're very shapely.
Okay, you're right on three of those.
Okay. Yeah! She's Swedish. I know my blood.
She had big boobs.
There we go. Oh, she had larger than average tits.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'd have
Let's
to go
say C+.
To a D.
Just barely a D. Barely a D?
More than a handful.
There we go. It's more than a handful. That's Swedish. And like that kind of like not masculine, but the very chiseled cheekbone face.
Uh-huh, a little bit on the.
I know my genes, my friends. I know my genes.
A little bit on the slightly on the stocky side.
I did that too, man. Like I dropped mine and caught it in my hand. I was like, oh shit!
I don't care. I'm gonna phantom for a moment. Where'd it go?
Right. But then again, you got to remember, 20-year-old virgin marine.
Do you blame me for wanting to move to Sweden?
No.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fucking liberal socialist paradise right now. Right
50%
now.
Of your taxes. But.
Hey, you know what? They still pay like $20 an hour minimum wage, so I still get $10 an hour after taxes.
Yeah, the funny thing is I saw a survey on it. They said if for some reason the United States ever decided to make Sweden, say, a state, it would be like the eighth poorest state in the country.
Yeah. But right now, and this was actually from a...
Even when you factor in them paying...
I am a liberal, but I am an anti-SJW. Sweden is an SJW paradise, and I would still move there. Because they've actually realized the SJW dream of, you know what, you can screw anybody as long as both parties have consent.
Exactly.
And you don't have to get consent for boob fondling.
They really,
if you're
really,
a dude and you're having sex with a chick, you don't have to say, is it okay if I feel your breasts?
Right.
Do you have to check in every 10 minutes?
You don't. They've realized the dream. There's a happy medium between consent and non-consent.
Nice. Right.
If she doesn't say no, you're good.
If she doesn't say no, I'm not okay with that, then you're okay.
Yeah. And that's really how that, but you got to remember too, 20-year-old.
If she says no, then just go, all right, I'm sorry.
She was,
what do you want to do? I don't want to do anything. Right. All right, well, then I'm leaving.
I'm going to fuck off now.
You raped me. No, I didn't. No. I didn't in any way.
I didn't touch
and you don't go to jail for that either.
Right.
Now, it's a happy medium.
Now, believe it or not, I didn't get any of that first night. But she was interesting enough when I was taking the bullet.
That it was worthwhile.
It was worth it to actually, I asked her out again.
That was my problem. She was slightly interesting enough that I took the bullet. You made out with her in the bathroom, man?
Yeah.
Monster. She was already making out with us both on the couch.
So that's my.
You
don't remember that. That's the problem.
See,
that's
drunk.
But anyway,
when she took us into the bathroom, I realized she wanted something slightly different.
See, but that's my definition of taking a bullet: is showing interest in the friend, so your buddy can hook up with the one he's got the eye on.
Don't give it.
We were slightly competing. Let's say that I technically
won. We competed at the beginning, but we saw pretty much right
away. Matt was more aggressive that game, but I still won on the defense.
But that's always been mine. It is
aggression.
It is aggression.
I guess the difference here is,
and my game has always been defense. Right.
Yeah, that's why we're perfect friends. Right.
See, I guess the
Matt,
difference
hold on,
here is
hold on a minute, Matt. Why? Just wait. Just wait, there it is.
Now go snatch his ass up.
Go.
I guess the difference here is that, you know, most of the time when we think about taking a bullet, you think that, you know, movie taking a bullet where you've got the one hot chick surrounded by three bow wows.
No bullshit.
That wasn't the situation at all. They were both damn good looking.
Our second interaction was probably more meaningful than our first.
New Year's Eve?
Or was it, was Underworld, the movie.
Yeah, that's the first poker night.
That was the first poker night.
Poker. Didn't even know her.
There was technically a woman involved, but like over the next 7, 8, 9, 10 poker nights, our friendship developed into something that was like, no, I'm all wrong, man. They've treated me all wrong.
Yeah.
He trusted me, he believed me, and it was proven true eventually.
Yep.
That's what I had to wait on, was the truth eventually. And when it was proven true, I was like, see, was I really that bad of a guy? No, you weren't. I told you from the beginning.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
All right, hold on. This is a website I found. I just typed in Swedish sex, and it gave me Swedish sexuality.
You know what they say, Matt? The hottest fire is breathing the strongest steel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
14 things every guy should know about Swedish girls.
Oh, boy. Before we do this.
Now, having almost married one, because that was the plan, is after I got out of we were going to get married. I was going to finish out my 4 years. I was going to move to Sweden with her. And I was going to probably end up joining the Swedish Marines or something like that. Number one, Sweden.
Iowa City.
We didn't even talk about that. He didn't even let us.
Oh, no. Okay, hold on. Well, we've got 20 minutes left.
We have a story.
Well, you guys went to Iowa City.
The hilarious part is the invitations for that night.
Like, hold on.
One more shot between us.
The invitations for on Facebook that Cody posted on that night.
That wasn't Cody.
Okay, now wait a minute. You're talking about Iowa City.
No. Cody's Halloween party was the same night that you and Ryan and Amber went up there, and I went to Cody's deal. Right, and cool. I had Cody's invitation pop up.
Is this how you guys met?
No.
This was the cementing.
Okay, this is the cementing. All right.
This is the brothers in arms moment. This was the I'm in the trenches taking grenades, and Matt brought the cavalry.
Okay, go ahead.
So we were friends before that, but we weren't best friends or anything.
Hang on. Hey, man, what's going on? You know.
Basically, we ended up at a Halloween.
How long after the fact?
I was going through a very difficult time with my current girlfriend and mother of my child.
Right.
So I went to a Halloween party with my friends.
How long after the fact?
About a year.
Okay.
A year from the day we met.
Okay, yeah. so the next Halloween.
8, 10 months from...
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to a Halloween party with
This is the bonding, as they say.
Yeah, this was the moment that I realized where my friends were.
There was one thing in between that we missed.
This is the brothers in arms moment. Like, I called for air support, and air support came in force.
Yeah. This is
I saw a truck rolling up with four of my friends, and I went like,
"This is the yes.
That's air support."
Yeah. This is the yes. Yes, I will help you throw that ring in the volcano moment.
Yeah. No, even better. This is the moment that I called with the last 2% of my battery power on my cell phone, and I said, "Broken arrow." And one guy showed up with the entire Air Force, Navy Air Force, and everything.
Okay.
Think Jurassic Park 3 when they finally
No.
He got broken arrow. You can never mention that movie again in your fucking life.
Fair enough.
Broken arrow.
Yeah.
This is, I'm being overrun. I need all help right now or I'm dead. Yeah. I went to a Halloween party.
Every kind of support you have whatsoever.
Pretty here now.
Yes.
Except for these coordinates, everything is a free target. Burn.
Yep. Right. Actually, even these coordinates at that point.
Yeah.
By the time you get to Broken Arrow,
if you see an enemy uniform, kill it.
No, it's not even that. You're basically calling fire support on yourself at that point.
And you better fucking
see. I told you I understood that term. I called Broken Arrow from the Coralville City Mall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At like 4 in the morning.
No, it wasn't or 4 6. In the morning. It was like
7.
No, 6. It was like 11 in the morning.
Okay, so I'm like, guessing at that point you're probably down by the ice.
My last radio call. Hold on. Let me tell the story. Come on.
Well, you've only got 16 minutes left.
I got it. Anyway, right. So I went to a Halloween party at a fraternity / sorority in Iowa City, Iowa City University. And I woke up. I didn't have a ride. I had barely any money to my name. I had like $20 to my name. I was in Iowa City. I didn't have my car. My ride was non-existent. I got on my phone and I called that asshole right there.
Yep.
And I was like, I need help. He brought a Chevy Blazer with three friends, including himself and me. I was at the Coralville City Mall. My phone was at 2% health. Like, I could call 911 at that point, and that was it. He showed up at the entrance. I got in the car. They drove me all the way back to the Quad Cities to back to my car, my apartment, my keys, my everything. That was that asshole right there. That was the moment that I knew that I could call him with Broken Arrow.
Right. And then, well, that's
Broken
the same
Arrow,
thing.
Matt. Broken right. Arrow. Where are you? I'm here. I'll be there in fucking well,
how long
45.
Is it gonna, how long is it gonna take?
Well, hey, believe it or not.
How long is it gonna take, Matt? 45 minutes. I can possibly hold out that long, but right. You might not have that many survivors.
Believe,
hey,
believe it or not, that's not too far off from.
That's why I said Broken Arrow. Right. That was the Broken Arrow call. Yeah. I'm dead.
That's not too far off from how Matt, you know, because Matt and I met over at Johnny's house.
Yep.
And then Johnny fired me, and I said, "All right, who's can we did that? We did the
fucking."
I was at FYE or FYI Records right. In the Coralville City Mall when I got the message from Matt. We're at the entrance. And I don't want to say I ran, but I walked very briskly to that fucking door because this is my one chance out of Iowa fucking City right. Before I became an Iowa City fucking hobo. Right.
But I mean, there's been plenty of times here, you know, in the last few years where I'm like, hey,
let's
Matt.
Men.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, I'm on the road. Can you go help Mary do something? And he's always been there. So
it's that last minute call.
Uh huh.
That Hail Mary, like, I have nothing else. Please be there. I will bring the goddamn Marines.
Right.
That's Matt Reefer.
Do you need an RPG? Because I can bring that. Do you need that? No,
if
no,
I am,
no, no, no,
if I am on Jurassic 2, The Lost Isle,
yeah.
And I have to call one person,
you
I will call
you
Matt.
You got a phone, a friend.
Bring the goddamn right. Marines, Matt. Where are you? Trace the coordinates, click.
Right.
I don't know how to do that, but I can call.
I will learn it. I will learn it in five right. Fucking minutes, right. And I will fucking call them.
All right, Matt, we'll see how many of these you agree with them. Pete, you probably will. 14 things every guy should know about Swedish girls. Number one, Sweden is a modern socialist state that places a lot of value on design.
Yes.
If Apple Computer were a country, it would be Sweden.
Yes.
There is an incredible detail to design.
And I hate Apple Computer, but I still want to move to right. Sweden.
There is an incredible detail to designing even simple lamps and chairs.
Based upon what I've seen in IKEA, I can absolutely agree with that.
Everything is optimized, logical, and clear, especially in public spaces.
I love
sadly,
it.
Sadly, these spaces are better presented than the women, who are the most overhyped on the planet. My guess is you think every
yes
girl there,
and no.
My guess is you think every girl there is a blonde bombshell, but it couldn't be further from the truth. The talent level competes very poorly with other countries in Eastern Europe.
Bullshit. I will put any blonde Swedish girl without makeup next to any American exactly. Blonde Swedish girl without makeup and go, the Swede wins.
Of course, this is Sweden.
I have bias, but I will put that up for other judgment and go,
of course, this is Sweden.
She still wins. Right. Look at that.
Of course, this is Sweden today versus Sweden 20 years ago, too. There are two levels of beauty. This is number two.
Yes.
On the elite level, you have a smattering of eights and nines with a few sevens thrown in. On the other level, you have sixes and below who might have a cute face but are extremely sloppy with their appearance and are overweight.
Yes.
Surprisingly, Sweden is fat. It's
yes.
Perhaps the fattest country in Scandinavia, though it's a close call with Denmark. Most girls are on the chubby side. If you like thick blonde girls, this may be your heaven.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
All right, well, let me say this with Denmark.
And I will say that about Lisa.
The only country that loves beer
right. more than Sweden is Denmark, and I'm including Germany.
And I will say that about Lisa. She was on the thick side.
Yes.
Not fat.
But shapely.
Yes.
Shapely. Yeah. And that's what matters. Like, oh, she's got a shape to her.
Right. She wasn't a stick.
They were not she skinny. They're not skinny.
Right.
They are hardy.
Exactly. Think Minnesota. Minnesota and Wisconsin women.
When are we moving?
I've told you about this place and you did not believe me.
Number three, Sweden has been infected with plain hipster style.
Well, we can find a spot.
Yes. They've been infected with flannel. That's what I'm going to actually say. The Swedes invented flannel. It came over to the United States, and then it bounced the fuck back.
All the girls wear Converse shoes and black stockings with tears in them.
Why are we not there
I'm
now?
I'm okay with all of this.
Why are we not there now?
They believe Chucks match with everything.
Yes. I'm okay with all of that. And I don't even give a shit about Chucks.
Including dresses.
Yes!
Matt, I told you about this place.
We didn't believe me. Fucking go.
I told you about this. You're like, I don't know.
Flip flops are to the U.S. what Chucks are to Sweden.
Yes.
Even guys wear it. The only positive of it is you don't see as many Skrillex haircuts like in Denmark. Or Skrillex. I'm sorry.
Skrillex. Skrillex.
No, yeah. They actually Skrillex. Have a good deal of them, though. There's a lot of punk
right.
chicks.
It's just saying you don't
There's
see,
a lot of punk chicks in Sweden.
Right. It's just saying you don't see
There's
as
a
many
lot.
As them in. Right.
Yeah, you don't
Number
see
four,
as many from Denmark. Yeah.
Bullshit on that survey. There's a lot of punk chicks in Sweden.
Right. They're just saying there aren't as many as in Denmark.
Well, like head count, no, but population right. percent, right. yes. There's
Number
more.
Four, Swedish girls absolutely love Americans. Many have visited the U.S.
This is like heaven. This is like fucking heaven. It's a socialist country.
It's das Motherland. It's das Motherland.
Many have visited.
Jakar Motherland.
Hold on. Many have visited the U.S. or worked as an au pair. That's what Lisa was doing when I met her. She was working here as an au pair.
Au pair is a wet nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
I know that.
Actually.
Ipso facto.
Right.
Yeah.
A nurse. Whether it's wet or not.
Yeah.
You know. You're their cultural...
It's a full-service nurse. Yeah, there we right. go. For the audience at home, an au pair is a full-service nurse. She will actually breastfeed your kids if you ask her.
And if
or she
capable.
Will just take care of them
right.
if you ask her.
Right. You're their cultural bridge back to that happy time. The best part of it is that you don't need to drop your background with any special tactic. They quickly sense it in your accent.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm not going to disagree with
they
that.
They know as
bit.
An American that you're earning slightly above minimum wage.
Right.
And they don't give a fuck.
Number five, they are exceptionally friendly. They aren't too sarcastic and won't
Wait, these are myths or truths?
This is just 14 things you should know about Swedish girls. They aren't too sarcastic and won't hit you with the superiority nonsense that you get in Denmark. This guy really doesn't like Denmark. While friendliness can help turn things... Friendliness can help turn things into something sexual, don't automatically assume it.
Yes.
Yes.
Number six, demographics give an edge to women. The sex ratio is bad.
Yes.
With much more men than women. It reminds me of America. While Swedish guys don't approach, they do have extensive social connections that actually make it worse than if they approached a lot instead. While an approach can fail within a minute or so, Swedish guys get introductions to desirable girls and have automatic long conversations. Number seven.
Girls yeah, no, it's no sex, by the way, man. They go in... To initiate a interaction with a female.
Right.
And the plausible end for every Swedish male is friendship.
Is bang, 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 bang.
It's friendship.
Okay.
And when they say no, their reaction is, oh, okay. And that's not saying that males... That's not saying that males get to, American males get to just power through that. That's, we're saying that, what he's saying is that the American aggression, a little bit, can kind of, through
force
that
the
little
Swedish
bit of wall,
guy off to the side. Yeah,
yeah, you can actually boop that guy off to the side and say, fuck off, dude. And number, he'll actually fuck off, dude.
When he walks up, you're like, I'm busy. Could
like,
you like,
hey,
fuck
I was
off?
I was talking to that girl, and you'll be like, well fuck off, Mac. And he'll actually fuck off, Mac.
Well, hey, man, I saw her, and then I started talking to her. Could you, like, want... here's somebody, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah. You'd be like, hey, how about you fuck off? And be like, all right, I will fuck off.
Yep. Bye.
And I will go find another girl.
Yep.
And you will have your target for the night. Yep. That doesn't mean you will succeed, but you will have right. your target.
Yeah, you're going to leave. I'll fuck her tomorrow. Go ahead.
She
man.
Can still yeah. say no in Swedish society, but he will fuck off.
Yeah. I love this place.
Yeah.
I wanted to move there forever.
I love this fucking place.
I don't have any skills that they want, though. Fuck me.
Number 7. Girls with boyfriends have a roaming eye. According to modern feminist theory, it's best if a girl bangs a couple dozen bad boys to know what she wants before eventually settling down. But
oh, dude, I'm like right in the fucking wheelhouse then. Like, I'm just right.
We really do need to move there. But by the way, hold on. About 70% of the population knows English, by the way.
Yep. Actually, most of them do because they're required to study at least 6 years of English between
elementary.
So
I can talk to them!
Yep.
We can learn Swedish while they learn yep. English from
English.
Us.
English is
while being there.
English is a required subject in their high school system.
Matt just said everything my face just did.
Right. Anyway, you know, it's obvious, you know, to bang a few dozen times before that.
There's one thing on this list that will not be there, but go ahead.
But those slutty experiencers rewire her brain in such a way that it can be hard to resist one more go with the bull. Alcohol will be a great excuse to borrow a Swedish girl from her boyfriend. Unlike in Eastern Europe, Swedish girls are not looking to replace their man. Instead, they'll go for a brief fling that no one finds out about.
If you have Swedish male penis length is 0.5 inches under the American male.
Right. If you have regular contact with her, i.e. you see her every day in the coffee shop, it's easier to pull a robbery than a one-off approach on the street or in the club.
True. Do not insist upon sex on a Swedish female unless she consents.
Number 8, it's a social circle-driven society.
If she says yes to sex, you're good.
Yep.
Run.
Hold on, we've only got 3 minutes left. It's a social circle-driven society on par with Iceland. Even Swedes consider themselves socially awkward, so they depend on their cycle or circle to meet people. This is especially true with the hottest girls who have a million orbiters competing for their attention. To increase your chances of getting somewhere, you need to isolate her from the group. I definitely notice a trend that the prettier the girl, the more likely she has a boyfriend. Regardless of her status, the hottest girls seem to wrap themselves up in a little cocoon. You need to get them alone. Number 9. Sweden has a huge minority with many people from Africa and the Middle East. I found the Middle Eastern girls to be slightly better looking than the Swedish girls. The only problem with this diversity is that when you're seeking a Swedish flag in a short amount of time, you have less targets to work with. It also doesn't help that the Middle Easterners are snobby since they made it to Sweden. Number 10, the girls chew tobacco. I remember talking to a girl only for her to pop in a pouch midway into a conversation. I was not turned
on. So she would be completely okay with me?
No, she pops into a pouch when you start to get down to dirty business. You take a Tic Tac,
yep.
Then offer her a Tic Tac, and she will take it.
I don't even mind.
Number 11.
9 times out of 10.
Yep. Number 11, nightlife is very clicky. The hot girls have a lot of beta orbiters who are happily wasting their time talking to a girl that most definitely won't fuck for quite some time or ever. Day game is a fine option, but you'll still have to deal with the Scandinavian shyness. Being a foreigner who's American gives you an edge, but it can be hard to get the girl to really bite. Grinding it out at night is inefficient. Getting introduced via her social circle will be easier, assuming you can stay long enough to play that angle. Number 12, to get your flag, your best bet is a spit standard world game. Be a confident American guy and you're partway there. The only thing you need to keep in mind is to be careful with dropping value, cockiness, arrogance, and all these things that may suggest you're better than her. I found Swedish girls to be much more flexible than Danish girls if you break the rules, but it's something you need to watch. Not in games, play big. Definitely avoid talking about foreign women as, and how Swedish women compare. It's a sore spot where Swedish men are importing Asian women by the hundreds. If you say something she doesn't like, use the excuse, well, in America, that's standard, to make it seem like she's being closed-minded about our culture. Number 13, you'll have success with Icelandic street game, where you prowl the street after the clubs close for lone girls. One night I spent 6 hours in a club to get nothing, only to get laid with a street approach afterwards. While the clubs have girls, the groups are...
This is someone who...
The groups are cock-block factories. Keep in mind, or keep your eye out for pairs who don't know anyone. And number 14, Swedish girls can't handle reality. They are too sheltered within their gender-neutral utopia. Any type of remark that references science or the real nature of men and women will get a negative response. What's interesting is that I had way better conversations with Ukrainian women who spoke bad English than Swedish girls who spoke fluent English. Ukrainian girls or women see the world as it is. They understand sexual economics and human attraction. They weren't so politically correct that topics were off limits like in Sweden. It's one of the more open countries in Scandinavia when it comes to free speech, but I felt censored. Stick to travel, music, and movies, and you should be straight. And we are done.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.